Hello, everybody. This is David Bixenspan here on the first Loser Leaves Town in way too long. thanks to our guest here today. I'm joined here by Rob Naylor to mainly discuss Russian wrestlers in over the last several decades in the style of the very popular, I guess popular, show we did about Samoans. Like 9 months ago or whatever, but how are you doing, Rob?
I am great. Perestroika will destroy you, and CM Punk says, just say nyet. That's what he said. So, that's our first words for the evening.
We also wanted to get out of the way first, because who knows how long we'll go talking about Russians. Looks like IWA Mid-South is actually closing this time. I don't know, when you get to the point where they're saying, like, oh, by the way, we don't have internet access, then...
Yeah, man, some motherfuckers got scammed. Can I curse on this? I think I still can.
And also that they're not begging people for money to buy DVDs or anything to keep them in business, that makes me think that it's actually done this time.
I saw one idiot on their message boards like, yo, man, I signed up for the Get 5 DVD Club a Year thing. And he's like, I never got any of my DVDs yet. And I signed up 3 months ago. Shocking. They took everybody. Yeah, I know, right? I mean, and then there was that idiot. Ricochet won the – you get to be in the next 3 Ted Petty Invitationals tournament a couple weeks back. And
what?
Yeah, I guess he ain't going to get to be in any of them. Yeah, Ian Rotten was like like a couple weeks ago, he's like, well, we're going to put on a show, and the winner of this tournament is going to get to be in the next 3 Ted Petty Invitationals. And everyone just laughed at that anyway. And sure enough, it came to pass.
Why was he saying that he'd be in business for 3 years?
I know. That was the joke.
I guess it's 2 years since it would have been happening, like, next month, but...
Still, it's completely idiotic, and he's just – unbelievable. 1 week removed from knowing he was going to close everything, he puts that tournament out there, and damn, man, it's just too bad. I guess we can remember the good 3 or 4 years, or I don't know if you count the really early, like, 96 years. I didn't see too much of that, so I guess I can't count.
I'd like to see some of that from when they had, like, the different Memphis guys and stuff, but there's not a lot.
Yeah, Buddy Landell, man. I would love to see Buddy Landell work in that crummy ring any day of the week. I'd love to see that. And is he on the Doug Gilbert list? Do we know?
I don't think so. Who is on the Doug Gilbert list? For those who don't know, by the way, it's a list of those banned for life from being booked in IWA Mid-South, named after Doug Gilbert, who of course was the first on the list. But I don't know.
I know Balls Mahoney. Balls Mahoney's on it.
Oh, he is?
Because what did he do? Remember when the first one night stand, Balls Mahoney no showed a show with Necro Butcher and Joe, where he was supposed to be on it, and Ian's like, "Fuck you, I made you," and all that shit as he usually always does. So yeah,
the show that week, the Philly show.
Yeah, and he just didn't go because he was in town, and he's just like, you're not gonna pay me, I'm not gonna wrestle." And then he goes, "Oh, we've been together for the usual Ian get out the violin song and dance." So he's on the Doug Gilbert list. JC Ice, I think, is on it.
Oh, that's right. He got banned after the match with Bobby Eaton, right?
Yeah, and JC Ice, of course, claims it was just Ian being a, quote, mark idiot and fining Eaton and JC Ice because they were traveling together.
Up late, right?
Yeah, I know, right? So he fined them because he's Ian Rotten and he could fine anybody.
Yeah, it was on the Shoot interview, right?
Yeah, he's the redneck. He's the redneck Bill Watts.
What the fuck are you doing finding me? You don't have a contract with me.
Yeah. So yeah, fuck that. Whatever. So yeah, the Doug Gilbert list is long. Someone recently said anyone on that list is a way better person than Ian Rotten. Anyway, I do agree with that. I wish. You know who I never liked? I didn't like Jim Fannin. Did you like Jim Fannin? Please say no. I hated
Not
Jim Fannin.
Really? No.
Okay, good. If someone likes him, I don't know why they would, so that's good to hear that we
agree.
Anyone
who likes him probably has not seen his blog.
Yeah, really. I mean, I could believe it. Like, I was that idiot that he's like, suck my dick, when, like, low-key was going to work for them, and I was like, yeah, I'll bet he shows up. And then, like, he picked low-key up at the airport, and he goes, yeah, all those doubters that said he wouldn't show up can suck my dick. I was like, what a dickhead. Who says that? I was like, wow. And he's like a company employee. So I remember being really pissed about that.
Are you an employee when you're using your grandma's money to fund the company?
Wow, I didn't know that. Insider. That's great. Good old fan. And I guess, see, he was meaningful. All right, cool.
Anyway, though. Yeah, the thing that Doug Gilbert, though, I think it was Prazak told me once that that there's this Doug versus Ian match from one of the earlier shows that I need to see because, and I never thought of this until he told me this, that it's like it's watching two Eddie Gilberts wrestle each other because I didn't realize it until he mentioned it, but like facial expressions wise and stuff, Ian really lifted a lot of stuff from Gilbert.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And
consequently, obviously. Consequently, Dave Prazak is now on the Doug Gilbert list, isn't he? Whoops.
Well, did he quit though?
Yeah, but I'm sure that you know, you could probably get on that list doing anything. So I'm sure he did get on it somehow. What the fuck? Poor Dave.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, at least here now that we're a part of the Sports Blog Nation, it's probably not a good idea to tell some of the more interesting stories that led to people getting on the Doug Gilbert list. Unless maybe if we don't name names.
Yeah, I know. Imagine that. Dave Prazak is on the list and Tower of Doom isn't. Fuck.
Quitting because you're trying to undermine someone else's, their main employer, Doug equals Doug Gilbert list. Possession of child pornography does not.
No, I think he calls that the, oh god, what's that guy's? The Gary Glitter rule. Yeah, that's definitely okay. Unbelievable. Ian Ryan, you are the man.
No, the best.
But we still love you, Nick Manawa. God damn it. You are a good person.
By the way, do you know the story behind the name Nick Manawa?
I swear to god I heard it, but you'd have to tell me it again.
And I feel stupid for not realizing this until, I think it was either Prazak or Hero explained it to me. That Nick is Ian's brother-in-law, Patty's younger brother, okay. And so his name's Nick Glenn, but his like AOL screen name was Nick Man IWA.
So oh,
they started calling him Nick Manawa.
That's perfect. I did not, you know what? Someone might have told me that, but I did not commit that one. That's classic. Okay. I was mad when I found out on Facebook that his name wasn't Nick Manawa. That hurt me. I was like, you are not Nick Glenn. You are Nick Manawa. I don't want to hear this shit with these shoot names ruining everything. Come on, man. He's Nick Manawa. I love it.
What was I starting to talk about before you mentioned Nick?
I think we're going to go into our favorite IWA matches and our worst memories of IWA.
I remember what it was about Tower of Doom. My favorite – I never saw him wrestle, but my favorite memory of Tower of Doom was after the arrest. I asked Hero if anyone had any suspicions about him, and he said something like, oh, not really. It's not like he ever said, oh, hey, guys, look at these 8-year-olds.
Yeah, there you go. Tower Doom was the Macho Warrior Rick Hogan.
Yes!
That's all I know. I never seen him wrestle either, but I do remember that I remember someone said he was the – and I've never seen the Macho Warrior Rick Hogan either, but I'd love to because that sounds like the greatest gimmick
on YouTube.
Ever. Oh, cool. I'll have to check it out.
But anyways,
it'll probably be linked to some pretty nasty shit though, so I don't know if I want to go there.
Look, Macho Warrior Rick Hogan on Google. Let's see. Videos. I don't see anything now, but I remember seeing something online, so it might be there somewhere.
Good helmet will help me. It's okay. I got this.
I don't have a lot. There's not a ton of as much 90s Memphis floating around, but I'd like to get it.
Yeah, I would like to as well.
Speaking of that, I was going through these old tapes that I bought from someone years ago that he taped off his satellite, and there's this like one episode of USWA from 94 on Channel America, and it has the Bad Breed on it, Ian and Axel.
Wow, that's a rare one. That's back when Ian said that Kevin Von Erich said that if Kerry would have lived, they'd have done another stadium show. So there's another.
Exactly. How much were they drawing? Was Global drawing?
Well, that was at the time where Big D and Global were both giving out free tickets. So then Global said, oh, yeah, Big D, fuck you. We're going to give out free tickets and a large Coke. And then like the next week, Big D would give out free tickets, a large Coke, and a free hot dog. So like they basically were drawing negative amounts of money and food. So yeah they're like,
Global would do 50-cent beer night.
Yeah.
The draw would be because they were selling 50-cent beers because the tickets were cheap.
Of course, and Ian Rotten said that Freddie Fargo was going to book Texas Stadium, so way to go. Idiot.
There was 50-cent beer night, and of course he had all the homeless guys would show up at the Sportatorium because they'd be giving comp tickets to anyone, and there was a homeless shelter down the street.
Wow, homeless people at Pro Wrest. Awesome.
And I would guess, because I think we talked about this on the Global Show with Joe. I would guess that Where's Waldo guy of ESPN fame would have been one of those homeless guys.
The okay, yeah, okay, I know who you mean. That's
the
funny
guy that they cut to when they sense
every time
object shots.
Yeah,
he's,
I was thinking
like doing this dance, and it's this really weird looking homeless guy.
Yeah, I was thinking of Jerry Von Erich. If you don't know who that is, that's the guy who looks like Kerry Von Erich in front of all the old Dallas shows wearing a USA t-shirt with long hair.
I haven't seen Jerry.
Oh, God, yeah, he's great. Like all the old Freebirds Von Erich stuff, there's this guy in the front row who looks just like Kerry wearing a white shirt that says USA on it, and he's always super animated. We love you, Jerry Von Erich.
Okay. So our favorite moments, matches, and stuff from IWA and South now. I guess I'll start. I guess we'll go back and forth. You know, as I posted in the blog post at Capeside Seats, you know, I had been aware, you know, I've been aware of them for a long time. Didn't really start watching until Punk, Hero, and Cabana started getting more attention, like in 2002. And, you know, so the, you know, the first, like, matches that I saw were the Gauntlet match with Punk, Hero, Cabana, and Ace Steel, and the Punk, Hero, Tables and Ladders match.
Mm-hmm. In that place with the big cross on the wall.
Was that? Oh, yeah, that was
the Gauntlet.
Was that Indianapolis? Or?
Yeah, that was the Gauntlet one with the big cross. I love it.
Okay, that actually better explains why they lost the building for the reasons they did.
Yeah, I know, right? Jesus, what would Jesus not do? Ian Rottenstock.
Anyway, yeah, so the Tables and Ladders match, which we, I think we talked to Punk about when we had him on, it was just so unique that they did like 20 minutes of mat work before all the crazy ladder stuff.
Yeah, man. Definitely was a match that was layered on pretty much. And in the latest TLC match that Punk had, he wasn't lifted upon the shoulders of Adam Gooch and Michael Todd Stratton afterwards. So I guess he's going to have to, you know, go for that someday.
Where is Adam Gooch?
He's on Facebook, I swear to God.
Oh.
So he exists. He exists. I'm not friends with him because I don't really know much about him, but he exists.
I liked Adam Gooch.
Was he the guy that put muscle – he drew abdomen muscles on himself?
Yeah, with the Sharpie.
Oh, nice. That's good. That makes me laugh. It works.
And of course, you know, was it Punk who did the commentary, do you know what a Gooch is?
No, I don't recall that.
I think it was Punk. No, talking about like I guess in Jack. I never heard of it until then. But I guess some people use it as a term for what some people call the taint.
Oh, Gooch. Okay. Wow. Leave it to CM Punk to call that to attention. Awesome. Why not?
Adam Gooch was good. He had good matches with Jaden Drago.
Wow.
Did Jaden Drago really graduate from the Shawn Michaels Wrestling Academy?
I'm thinking no, but it would not surprise me if he did. I'll say no for now. I'll find out. I'll let you know.
I don't think he was ever on any TWA shows. And most at least the guys in the first class, aside from John Hope, were pretty good. I mean, he wasn't bad, but
He was not
what you'd expect from a Shawn Michaels trainee, though.
Yeah, a recent match came up on YouTube of Spanky against Danielson from one of the first TWA shows, and it was awesome. They were so good so early, and I now want to find some of that. I didn't have the TWA shows, so I hope there's some good quality of that out there somewhere, because I really enjoyed all those guys. I even watched – Michael Shane was even serviceable. He wasn't anything that awesome or anything, but he was good for his time, I guess. And
he was okay.
Yeah, and I know that what's his name? Rudy Boy was he was a student of Manny Fernandez, so I like the TWA guys by default then, so I got nothing but love for all them guys. Even John Hope.
But yeah, Adam Gooch also, he had that good, I think it wasn't one of his first IWA matches, but I remember Wrestling Hero, and remember that move Hero did, the Rubik's Cube?
Yes.
Which was, I guess, if you haven't seen it, what do you call it, like an electric chair into a Michinoku driver, sort of?
Yeah, which he stole from Trent Acid off a CZW tape.
Well, if it's Trent Acid, who cares?
Yes. I think it's awesome that a lot of the tapes, a lot of the guys that came up with their moves all came up with them by watching tapes at Hero's house. Like Claudio got his Ricola bomb there. Petey Williams stole the Canadian Destroyer from watching a Quiet Storm tape. I mean, it's freaking hilarious.
Well, I thought he did the Canadian destroyer because D'Amore taught it to him.
No, that's actually a falsehood because he actually watched it, Quiet Storm Do It to Red, on a PWF tape that was watched by a whole couch full of those Michigan people. So it's like, oh. So yeah, it's kind of neat how that all factors into play. These people find stuff to do. But yeah, the Rubik's Cube bomb.
And I think remember Punk's call of it on commentary was, oh shit, Gooch is dead.
Love it. My favorite IWA match, to butt in, it would have to be the six-man. I think it was Punk, Joe, and BJ against B-Boy, Homicide, and Hero. It was an elimination match on a chick show.
Oh, like the one on the Volcano Girl show.
Yeah, if you haven't watched that
I haven't seen that.
Rewatch that. It holds up so well. It's amazing. The heat was like at a fever pitch. Those people were really primed to see that one guy's match end the show. And that was probably when Hero was at his IWA peak. And he beats Punk, and then he beats Joe, which was unheard of at the time. So like a real big win for him. And you know, Homicide was on fire. Whitmer didn't really ruin anything, and B-Boy looked great that year too. So it was a really killer match, and that would be my favorite IW match ever by far, probably.
Is it just me, or did Whitmer get worse as the years went on?
I never really thought he was bad. I just thought he just was bland and was there. He was just a there kind of wrestler. He wasn't as bad as John Walters. He wasn't as bad as Josh Daniels. Like, I could compare and contrast a whole load of these guys.
When you're as far as like indie Benoit guys.
Wow, I never thought about, but that's basically what it is.
I thought he was better as indie Benoit than White Akiyama.
Good point.
Evolved into.
I kind of liked White Akiyama, and he took good bumps, so you know I'm going to like him for that. But yeah, I would take him over like Eddie Edwards or like John Walters or any of them guys, but you know, whatever. He probably did get worse, you're probably right. I know people cared less about him as years went on, so that probably answers your question.
Remember when, now I think actually this might have been correct and it might not have been the story, but remember when, like, all of the, like, Les Thatcher guys would periodically get taken off IWA shows for months?
Oh, yeah, I think it's hilarious that Hero was once a fucking Les Thatcher guy, and then he later works with Ian, and then he goes to work with Cornette. It's ridiculous. But yeah, all those Les Thatcher guys, man. Les Thatcher doesn't like fun or violence in wrestling. Well, I guess he likes violence, but not ultra-violence, I guess you could say.
I'm trying to figure out, because I don't want to break confidence and I don't want to be a tease if otherwise, but has he ever told the story of how he got heat with Thatcher?
I think I might have heard, I don't know, probably not, I don't know, I guess not. Okay. But the thing with Les is, who do you think's a worse crotchety old man, Les Thatcher or Ole Anderson? That would be a tough – or Mike Graham would be thrown into that.
Mike Graham's just an idiot.
I hate Mike Graham too. Good. What a fucking dick that guy is. Oh, I'm not going to get the new WCW thing. I heard he's at his all-time worst there.
Oh, he takes credit for bringing in Hogan.
Oh, God.
He takes credit for the Disney tapings. He took credit for phasing out the clashes and doing more pay-per-views.
He's so horrible. I hate him.
It's all within the span of like 90 seconds, too.
Jesus Christ. Why didn't Hiro Matsuda break his leg? Oh, it just kills me. <It's> terrible. Fucking dick.
And like this guy, remember he threatened to stab Benoit.
Oh yeah.
Them getting their release with the Radicals getting their release. He refused to catch Liger when Liger did like his handspring reverse headbutt thing at Starrcade.
That was one of the worst. Yeah, that was horrible. What a dick. And then he stuck up for Brian Blair after beating his wife, allegedly.
No, beating his kid.
His kid. Oh, yeah, his kid. Actually, I'm not going to be lying. I actually don't think Blair did anything wrong. I think that was a family squabble went awry, and I think Blair probably was the good guy, but he's just pillaged in the media. But, yeah, I still hated Mike Graham initially because he jumped – Mike Graham acted like he knew exactly what happened before more facts came out, so I hated that too. Fucking Mike Graham. Wow. So yeah, IWA.
How did we get to Mike Graham?
I don't know. Oh, crotchety old man, worse than
Les Thatcher. So the Les Thatcher guys would like disappear from IWA for like months at a time. I remember like one time, like when IWA did the 300th show, I remember it was strange. Like they drew like their biggest crowd of like the last of in years, like 400 people. Based all on word of mouth within Louisville, I guess, of it being a big show.
Hmm.
And there was a the tryout camps they do at OVW.
Yeah.
Like that weekend. And coincidentally, I think it was, It was Chris Daniels plus Matt Stryker, the Les Thatcher, Matt Stryker, and BJ Whitmer all got pulled from the show.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio just got suspended for 30 days.
What? Oh.
Wellness violation. Oh no. Wow. Sorry for that. Someone sent me that and I cracked up. Okay.
I wonder what they're going to do with the belt.
Dolph Ziggler. You get it.
Beating him in Rio.
Oh, that's too bad. Just as wellness violation.
I hate the headlines the way they do it on the Observer site. WWE champion suspended.
Oh, is that what it said? Someone had the WWE link.
I mean, I guess they didn't capitalize champion, but still.
Hmm.
I mean, it makes you think it's either Orton or almost like they're trying to imply Punk. So I'm gonna.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of the leads, but I guess that's what they do in news or in fights to get a freaking click on a damn site. I guess, but I mean, yeah, I agree with you. It's annoying, but whatever.
Without saying anything outright, though, how did Mysterio get suspended for wellness violation now?
Oh, I know, it's a joke. I don't know. It just makes me want to cry. At least it wasn't Matt Sydal, I guess. So that's good.
speaking of a former IWA wrestler, Matt.
Yeah, he was in a lot of good ones.
And, so what were we talking? Oh, the 300 show. But anyway, favorite stuff. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could pick like a single favorite match. I mean, you know, I really like Tracy Smothers against JC Ice from the first show at the. Which town was that? That wasn't Clark. Wasn't Clarksville. That was the other.
Oh,
one,
you
right?
Got me beat on that. You were a bigger fan than I was. I don't know the towns. I'm a Northeast boy. I don't know these things. Oh, you are too. Shit.
Yeah.
I always thought you were from the Midwest. I'm sorry.
What?
I know. Like all the guys like PCN Tom and people like that. I was just like Midwest stronghold, like fans. Like you guys were all like fans. So I'm like, God damn it, they must go to live shows and really get into it. But no, you were just a really big IWA fan on North. You are right. I got it.
What were we talking about? Anyway,
your favorite match,
Tracy Smothers and JC Ice, where they stole for like the first half of like a 15-minute match, and it's awesome.
Oh yeah, the one where the lady went nuts, right?
No, that was later in the show. That was when Bobby Eaton came out as Mark Wolf's mystery partner against Mean and Hard.
I got you.
And then
Smothers
runs out and attacks him, and then like there's this. I mean, I don't know if I'd call it a riot like some people have, but it certainly was a wilder scene than you tend to get. But there's the what I've seen referred to as the pregnant stripper getting into a fight.
Yeah, but a barbed wire bat.
Yeah, she hits him from behind with a barbed wire bat.
Yeah, you don't hit him from behind with a barbed wire bat.
Her boyfriend tries to fight. Oh, like she's trying to make her boyfriend fight him too.
Actually, the more I think about it, you're right. That probably typifies IWA. Just redneck trash, getting in fights, pregnant, smoking a cig, with a barbed wire bat in your hand, attacking Bull Payne from behind. Yeah, that's IWA. No, fuck the six-man technical match. You're right. I think that's a better best match. What's the worst, though? I don't think...
Who's that guy Eric Cannon wrestled in his first match? Cody something?
Oh, Cody.
Chaos Cody Lee or something?
I remember him, though.
Chaos
Cody O'Neill.
O'Neill. Was it O'Neill? It was or Cody Lee or Cody O'Neill. Anyway, Chaos Cody O'Neill. I think you're right.
Yeah.
That was like, it got him hot. That got him to be an IWA regular, but it was like the most like cookie cutter like indie guys doing like head drop smash.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to check it out now. I don't know if I remember that.
It was just kind of like it was.
Was that on the
like,
We Are Family?
Yes, that was on We Are Family.
Oh, I never saw that.
That is a fun show, though.
I'm told it is. It's like 6 hours. Like, yeah, sounds like a marathon.
Anyway, that was fun. What else was on that? That had, it was like Hero and Alex Shelley. There was, they had a really good, it was Hero and Alex Shelley against Jacobs and someone. There was like a Hero and Alex Shelley singles match.
Maybe Danny Daniels was on it at that time.
Yeah, Corporal Robinson against Ian in a fan during the weapons match.
Wolf. Mark the American Wolf.
Yeah, Mark. No, actually, no. I think Mark Wolf had, was on his hiatus at that point.
Ah, I got you. Nate Webb was probably on it, right?
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. I mean, there was. I remember you had like Swiss Money Holding like arriving like the last minute because their flight okay. like coming straight from the airport. That was fun. No, but yeah, Tracy's Mothers and JC Ice, and then the thing later in the show. It had, they tried to sort of repeat the vibe they had from that, several months later on the Thanksgiving weekend shows where they did, yeah. they did the, do you remember this with Ian and Volpain?
Yeah.
They did this, it was like Ian and Volpain cut these shoot promos where Ian's talking about, oh, your wife left you for Bill Dundee, and, you know, she's, you know, and Jamie Dundee had her first, or whatever it was, and then, but that she was, you know, so skanky that even the headbangers wouldn't touch her, or whatever.
Yeah, man, that was rough.
I mean, I don't, how do I put this without, I mean, like, I don't want to say this in a way that's, like, sounds mean, but I remember, like, when the first time I ever saw Bill Dundee with Samantha as his valet, Donna Shepherd, the Volpain's ex-wife and valet, was on this Power Pro, like Power Memphis Power Pro show, and I forget who's cutting the promo on them, but it's like it was someone cutting promo on like Dundee and Lawler saying that they had Stacy and Samantha with them to get to give like sex appeal because they were old and no one wanted to pay attention to them anymore, and like
right.
okay, I mean. Stacy Carter was a very attractive woman, but how old was, like, Samantha was like 50 years old.
Samantha wasn't even hot when she was in Global. I mean, Samantha to me in Global looked like Sally Struthers in like late 80s when she had when eating all those Africans' food. Like, she was big and nasty and old and just she had that, you gonna fuck me or what? She just looked disgusting. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. She's just terrible. And I didn't see her with Bill Dundee, thank God.
I thought she looked more like a commercial. What was the Correspondence Course era? Sally Struthers.
Okay, that might work too.
You know, when she's telling you like how to like learn how to repair guns and stuff or whatever.
Yeah, get your teaching degree.
Yeah. And,
all right, that's her, but, Sally Struthers.
Oh, so anyway, the thing was, they end up like it's like right at the end of the last match on the show. The IWA locker room, which was like a bunch of like boards, like sort of just next to the wall, it falls over, and you see Ian and Bull brawling with each other because they have the one locker room, which like, was a cool way to do it. But they have this like long, endless brawl, and then starting with the next show, they had separate heel and babyface locker rooms, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, that makes sense. That was
cool. But anyway,
Ian's usually good at making sense out of things, except like. In real life, so.
Yes. And what else? What else was there back then? I already talked about Jamie Dundee. Ace Steel against Trevor Murdoch.
Yeah, that was pretty rough.
Yeah, they had a lot of matches for Harley Race too, but I never saw them. But that was an awesome match. That was, I think, one of the first times I saw a stand-up Trevor Rhodes, Trevor Murdoch. What's his name in TNA?
I didn't know he was in TNA.
That is him in TNA, isn't it?
What's it?
I
don't know.
I watched TNA a couple weeks ago, and he had some... I'm going to go to the... You're making me go to
the... I read Bugsy McGraw was in TNA,
yeah,
so what lineup? That's... I want someone to YouTube that shit, because I will watch that on YouTube immediately. I love Bugsy McGraw. He's freaking great. I saw him on the Memphis.
Oh, Nate What's Webb. That? Yeah, we should talk about Nate Webb if we're talking about Bugsy McGraw.
Yeah, man. Nate Webb. It's sad that he'll never get to do an entrance. That's probably the worst thing about IWA going out of business. But Nate Webb, as the years went on, became a very angry, kind of bitter guy. So, like,
really?
Whatever. Yeah. I don't
Did
even
he
think
make
he had...
money booking midgets?
No, I think that kind of fell through. There was just a lot of... He was pissed at the wrestling business for not booking him, and... When I met Nate Webb, I was like a kid. I was like, oh my, it's like, a young Republican meeting Ronald Reagan. You know, like I was so excited to meet Nate Webb, and I just couldn't believe how kind of he's like, eh, whatever. I was like, what? Like, you're Nate Webb, you know? You gotta be happy and fun and jovial. He was not. So I was like, all right. See, I don't know. I love Nate Webb too. I wish he gets on TV somehow. I wish WSX would have continued so we could have Nate on our TV, but shit just didn't pan out. But my God, from 2002 to 2005 or 6, you were not going to find a more fun professional wrestler, in my opinion, than Nate Webb. He was so great. And I hear he's doing a shoot interview, so we're all going to get that coming up soon with the Smart Mark people.
I'll never forgive Ian and Patty, though, for refusing to book him and Jimmy Valiant as a tag team.
Oh, I know, right? That's awesome. And I know someone that like he has a promotion down in VA where Jimmy is, so hopefully I could tell them to book Nate Webb and hopefully get that done, because I would love to see it as well.
I remember it was like he was doing the retirement tour, and I mentioned to Prazak, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you had him team with Nate Webb or something? And, you know, I don't know. I don't remember if he was working OVW or anything, but you could even have it as his last match in Louisville and have it as sort of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And, like, he was like, and he brought it up to, like, Patty and Ian, and Patty was like, oh, it wouldn't draw.
Nah, that's not going to draw. Let's bring in Axel Rotten again. I don't like Axel Rotten either. I'm just going to say it right now. He just seems like a dick who had a small run and thinks it's a lot bigger run than it was. And I just don't like bitter.
I believe he's also not a fan of the Jews.
Uh-oh. You don't like him either. Fuck you, Axel Rotten.
Wait, well, I I'm not looking hard enough, but I don't see whoever I thought was Trevor Murdoch on the TNA site.
Oh, well. Yeah,
I'm sure someone will tell us. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. He's just a good guy. Hope he's doing okay somewhere. Hopefully not in TNA.
What else? And like 03, oh, Nigel McGuinness really starting to break out.
Yep, a lot of guys, I'm going to give them credit. A lot of their guys broke out somewhat, and they broke out more later. But they were a jump off for a lot of talent. I would give them more credit now that it's all over, but they fucked up so much stuff after all these guys got a jump off and ripped off a lot of these guys that got a jump off.
Oh, yeah.
That I have no respect for them, and I think they did more harm than good. And that says a lot, because they did a lot of good, but they did a lot of harm too, in my opinion. So.
I mean, as bad as things were with them and as kind of, you know, kind of rip off whatever that they could be, how do I put this? I think it's good the way that I don't even know if he paid him, but when they were running weekly and he'd tell, you know, Punk and Cabana, oh, you know, if you're not booked anywhere else, come here and you can work. I mean, I think that's good. I mean, even if he didn't pay them or barely paid them, they still got to work in front of a crowd whenever they wanted.
Yeah, they got ring time, and that is very good. But toward the end, past those days, I think a lot of people got hosed, and I just think
Dave Taylor.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
no,
I mean,
yeah. Bill Barron's talking, posting about that.
Yeah, like I know. Oh shoot, he's not going to hear this. But Gabe, right? Don't know if this should be knowledge, but when they had that show come up for Dragon Gate USA, right?
Yeah.
Ian asked to have some guys in it in the TPI. Ooh. And Gabe was just like, I don't do business with you.
Oh, to have
he's just like,
guys.
I don't trust you, and you've just fucked a lot of people who I'm friends with, and I just don't want to do business with you. I don't mind talking. Like, we could talk. We do that. I don't want to do business with you. And people were like, what a dick. You know, how dare he say that? And like,
that makes me like Gabe more.
Yeah, look what happened. He was right. He's right to be that way. People are like, oh, well, Gabe's a dick. But no, you know you're going to get fucked. He was thinking of putting Hero in a match on Dragon Gate USA if Hero would have agreed to it. Now, look, well, that would have been a mess because Hero wasn't going to go to TPI. So that means Hero gets booked for PWG. I mean, it would have fucked everything up anyway. So it's just like, you know, you can't trust someone like Ian Rotten, especially toward this time of year, like in the long run of IWA. It's like, fuck, you know, and I don't blame him. I said, no shit, you know, I am not dropping a tear that IWA went out of business because it just fucked a lot of stuff up toward the end there. So sorry, but we'll miss you. But Nick Manoa, we love you. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
you're
speaking
awesome.
Of Hero, by the way, does this mean is it weird to finally see him in trunks looking like Barry Windham?
Yeah, man, I'm really happy, man. I never really thought that transformation was going to happen, but dude is busting his ass in the gym. He's boxing now. I mean, you put in time like that, and you know that's what Punk did, and Hero finally clicked, and he's doing it now too. So hopefully, it all works out for him. It is nuts to see that though. Like I thought it was going to be more of a process. I know Lance Storm used to think Chris Hero didn't look good at all, and when he wrestled Lance Storm like a month ago, Lance Storm was like, "Whoa, what the hell happened to you? Apparently, you took some advice." So like, good, you know, but shit. Some of these guys, I mean. I remember Meltzer used to talk, Kevin Steen looks like shit. How come he doesn't watch his diet more? And, you know, certain guys just don't want to. You know, I do like the philosophy that not everyone needs to look like a fucking bodybuilder. But if you're playing the game and you want to get on some TV, you know, maybe you got to take that step. So who knows?
Anyway, but, Russians.
Yeah, man. How about them Russians? They were always ripped. Not always.
What Russians were ripped? I mean,
Nikita was ripped to shit. Sold out Ustinov, Vladimir Pietrov. All my favorite Russians were. Boris Zhukov was not. Nikolai.
He was jacked up though, but he wasn't ripped.
Yeah, these guys were bulky, not ripped. Crusher Khrushchev. Were they really Russians? Yeah, we'll have to debate this.
Well, Crusher Khrushchev wasn't even supposed to be a Russian.
Yeah, but check it. We're counting him big time. Yeah. Anyone with even a Russian name, because I'm going to throw out a lot of people who I think are Russian. I hope Alexis Smirnov was a Russian, but okay. I don't know how we're going to format this. Are you going to read names off, or are we going to talk about first Russians? Or
let's start going down the list first, I guess, on Online World Wrestling, and then...
Awesome.
You know,
how big is the list? Tell me.
I mean, you know, there's some repeats from teams and stuff, but we got at least 25 guys, I think. So
awesome, man. That's good.
Okay, so the first one, it has Alexis Smirnov. I thought it was Alexis Smirnov, but whatever.
It was Alexis Smirnov.
Yeah, okay, I guess, you know what? How about each time, though, I'll have you guess whether or not the guy's really Russian.
Oh, awesome. I am not online. Here we go.
Okay, Alexis Smirnov.
I would think he's not because he's from the West Coast, I think. So I'm going to say no, but it hurts me to know this.
Michel Lamarche, originally from St. Lin's, Quebec, Canada.
Fuck, he's French. Amazing. Huh. Smirnov. Yo, vodka name.
I don't know that much about him.
Oh, I've seen him
I've seen him, but...
I saw him in the AWA teaming up with George Gordienko, and they were the worst Russian team I've ever seen. Because, like, I guess...
That would have been Yuri Gordienko. That wouldn't have been George Gordienko. But...
Oh, yeah, I'm very sorry. I meant Yuri Gordienko. You're right.
Who was Yuri Gordienko?
Yuri Gordienko was a fake Russian or a real Russian that was in Vern.
Paul DeMarco.
Oh, nice. I did not know that. Because Vern thought, well, the Ivan and Nikita are drawing and Volkov and Sheik are drawing, so 2 years later I'll make my own Russians, and he made them. And
do you really think that's what Vern thought? This is Vern Gagne. He probably just thought that Russians used to draw, so they still would.
Probably that too. So yeah, Vern was completely...
who, when he made his fake Rock and Roll Express, thought that people would confuse the rockers with rocking chairs.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. You are correct, sir.
Alexis Smirnov, I mean, mainly I guess known as being a West Coast guy because he wrestled in California.
Yeah, I met him at the... is he dead?
Let's see.
I think I met him at the Cauliflower Alley, so I think he is alive.
I would hope so if you met him at the Cauliflower Alley.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking, because he looks like Butcher Vachon a little bit, because both Vachons were there, and there was a third bald guy, and I thought it was Alexis Smirnov, so I could have been right.
Yeah, speaking of Vachon, though, I never realized this until I read it, and then I was an idiot for not realizing until then. But in Ivan Koloff's book, he talks about getting his, you know, Russian promo voice from... doing Mad Dog Vachon as if he was Russian.
Oh, wow.
And then you're like, of course.
Nephew Nikita. Oh, my God. Yeah, Nikita. That's totally right. Yeah. What I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah, it's really gruff. Hurts actually to do.
Yes.
But yeah, Ivan Koloff.
Okay, so I guess I don't know if there's much to say about Alexis Smirnov. I mean, he was
Past now. He's still alive, apparently, and he is not Russian.
Next on the list is the Bolsheviks, so I guess we can talk about them both now, Nikolai Volkov and Boris Zhukov. Now,
was there an original Bolsheviks, though?
No, these are Volkov and Zhukov.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, okay, now, obviously you know that Boris Zhukov is not Russian.
Yeah, but I didn't know that until at least 2002.
Private Jim Nelson.
I know, but I never really watched him, so I did not.
Let's see. Okay, Volkov, Russian or not Russian?
I think I know the answer to this. I think he's not, but Am I right?
Yeah, he's Croatian, but I think it's like his mother, or he spoke Russian or something. I don't know.
Yeah, isn't his name Josip?
Josip Perusevic.
Nice. Yeah, I've met him numerous times. Probably the nicest guy you'll ever meet. He's too nice to be in the wrestling business, and he's probably the worst wrestler I've ever seen. Nice guy, though.
He wasn't that bad.
Oh, I hate him. He's terrible. I'd put him up with who's other really bad professional wrestlers? Elegante. He's just terrible. I didn't like him, but to each their own. He drew money, so what the fuck do I know?
I mean, I think if he didn't work so loose-looking, then people wouldn't say he was as bad.
I just think his chops were awesome. To this day, I saw him wrestle last year. He has great chops and great hand speed, and he does a cool little kick. He does that Muda kick, this back kick that all the TNA guys do now. It's really good. I mean, the match was terrible. Like, the match went like 15 minutes. But I said the guy for his age has great hand speed still, a great kick, and he's a nice person. So good for him.
I didn't know he was still working at all.
Yep, he worked in Shamokin, Pennsylvania.
Was he wearing his glasses?
No. He was awesome, though. He wore a t-shirt, thank God.
He could have been really good, though, because he was this big, like, really strong, fast, like, agile guy. And
he was tough as fuck. Yeah. He beat the shit out of Manny Fernandez and made Manny Fernandez look like the elephant man in the dressing room. So, yes. And Manny will tell everyone that and admit to it, because Manny's a tough dude and he admits when he gets his ass kicked. So, yes, do not fuck with Nikolai Volkov, who I believe boxed in his early days. So.
Yeah, and he was also one of the Mongols.
Yeah, it was Beepo or Guido. I told a friend of mine who's like 25 years older than me this, and he never believed me, and he should have known better, because he's like, he was? I'm like, yes, you idiot, he was a Mongol.
I forget if he teamed, though, I'm not even going to look this up, but Beepo, Guido, and, no, when, I think Volkov came later, because I think first it was Newton Thatchery and Bill Eadie.
Yeah.
And then Volkov replaced Eadie, maybe?
Yeah, and then Eadie became the third executioner with Big John Studd.
No, he wasn't. Oh, no, Volkov was.
That's what Lou Albano said. That's hilarious.
No,
I just watched the shoot interview with Lou Albano. They asked him who the third executioner was, and he goes, that was Big Bill Eadie. And I was like, okay, awesome. I never knew that.
No, it was
and he was wrong.
It was Volkov.
I love Lou Albano more by the second. Okay, cool.
But I mean, you'd like this, though. Like there was a Toronto show on 24/7 a while back with a Slaughter Sheik match, and it's months after the feud ended, and it's not that good, but it ends with Volkov in street clothes. He's running down the ramp, because remember, it's at Maple Leaf Gardens.
Mm-hmm,
and
love it.
In one motion, just runs, jumps, and hops over the top rope and starts pounding on Slaughter.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome, and I never knew Volkov and Slaughter even crossed paths to show you how
out of it. He could do cartwheels.
Yeah, he could. You know what? I'm changing my mind on Nikolai slowly but surely. He was way better than Elegante. He was really good back in the day. He wasn't a bumping big man, but nobody was in those days, except for Jerry Blackwell. So yeah, good for him.
I like the Hogan match from Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah, I'll have to rewatch that one. I don't recall it, but yeah.
And the
Nikolai,
Boris,
man.
Boris Zukov,
sucks. And he had the cool backbreaker, I'm sorry, just to finish Volkov. He had that really cool
gigantic head in the history of the wrestling business.
Yeah, Boris. When I first saw Boris Zukov, I cried like a bitch, because I am. And like, no, dude. Ric Flair wrestled Sergeant Slaughter, and it was on AWA TV, and I was getting my hair cut at the hairdresser's, and I made her turn on AWA wrestling. And from out of nowhere, this crazed Russian hit the ring and headbutted. Giant head, and he headbutted Slaughter. Then he headbutted the referee, which I had never seen before. When the first time you see like an actual official after you watch sports get attacked by a wrestler, and you think it's real, you're like, ah, what? And then Larry Nelson's going crazy. It's not because Sherry Martel's kneeling in front of him, and like it's just a crazy out of control situation. And he kept headbutting him. I'm like, fuck, who is this guy? And then him and the Stomper teamed up. But yeah, Zukov's a fucking monster.
Wait, which Stomper?
I believe him.
Which Stomper?
Mongolian Stomper, Nord the Barbarian, and Zukov.
I forgot he was a native then.
Yeah, they were adding on Al Casey's henchmen. Not long, but Stomper was not roided up, I won't say that. But he was ripped as shit in that couple months too, but yeah, they were the big team.
I would believe that he wasn't roided up just because he's like still like just a total freak. Because like when the Stampede like, came out a few years ago, they talk about him like how he like bicycles like
around
like,
Tennessee. Yep.
Yeah, like 10 miles a day or something.
Yep. So that's like, why I said
with his grandkids like in the like on like a thing being pulled by the bicycle.
Yeah, like he was like ridiculously ripped, so good for him. And yeah, Zhukov, my god, he was awesome. Then when he became a Bolshevik, he became probably the most useless wrestler ever. He actually, you know what, I'm going to change my mind. He was probably worse than Nikita, and Nikolai, I'm sorry, because like he just sucked and he couldn't take the boomerang, right? Because Nikolai Volkov turned good and he started doing the boomerang, which is Outback Jack's finish.
Didn't he call it the Russian sickle, though?
No, he called it something. And it was an awesome name, too, because Glasnost, it all had changed. And, like, we welcomed the Russians.
But I think it was when he did it as a babyface, though.
Yeah. Because, like, Nikita called his Russian sickle the Lithuanian sickle. But I think Nikolai had a different name for his. But regardless, the boomerang was badass. And Zhukov couldn't take it right, so whatever.
And there was also the original Nikolai Volkov, spelled different, the first name, Steve Gobb.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about him. But
you know what I didn't like about Volkov? He was too fucking vocal in the ring. He'd go, like he'd always screech. Yeah, man, I didn't like that at all, so yeah, Nikolai.
And Boris, I mean, just think about the headbutt, though. It reminds me of... Yeah, once I think Phil Snyder wrote about a Junkyard Dog match. Like he's like, JYD looks like he has this giant encephalitic head. Between that and the blackness, I bet his headbutt is like getting hit with a frozen turkey.
Oh, Phil Snyder, we love you. And yeah, Zhukov, man. That was insane. He was just – his head was ridiculous. And dude, I saw a recent picture of him at some Charlotte get-together. Yeah. And he looks like shit. His stomach, he probably has the most pronounced gut this side of the Iron Sheik. It's unbelievable. You gotta check that out. It makes any muscle gut you've ever seen look diminutive by comparison.
Now, when was he Boris Zhukov and when was he Boris Zhukov? Was he Boris Zhukov everywhere before WWF?
No, I think Zhukov is simply one of those things where Gagne didn't know what to call him from week to week, so they actually changed the name. Like Crusher Zhukov and Bam Bam Bigelow, perhaps. But yeah, he was Zhukov, I think, all the time. But I just think that the ineptitude of Larry Nelson, for obvious reasons, I just think it was misnamed. It's like when Bill Mercer used to call Nord the Barbarian Nord the Norwegian and say he was from Norwegia. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. These announcers were fucking idiots. Because the good thing is I'm glad they were, because it's better than having someone in your ear telling you everything exactly how it is. But yeah, probably just a mistake.
I think I've seen him as Zhukov other places, though, like maybe Knoxville, so I'm not sure.
Oh, wow, okay. That could be correct, too.
Oh, by the way, have you read Gary Hart's book, speaking of Bill Murray?
No, I wish I could. I heard that he talked some shit, though.
You need to get it, though. I mean, he talks about, though, how people shouldn't talk shit about Bill Mercer because he said Nord was from Norwegian. And he was like, you know, this guy, you know, I don't know if he necessarily says he was a great announcer as much as this guy was such a mainstream, like, name in Dallas and stuff that he was an asset.
Oh, yeah, Johnny Mantell said that he thought Bill Mercer was, like, the greatest announcer of all time. I wouldn't go that far. He's got a classic voice. He's a radio guy. I do think he's good. But, like, I also like to... Doyle Webb, so...
What, Doyle King or Dave Webb?
Doyle King, I'm sorry, I hated David Webb. No, actually, I like David Webb in accordance with Doyle King for the couple shows they did, so that tells you what
was
I like.
David Webb as Elvis?
No, it's not David Webb. He needs to write a book. I can only imagine who was kneeling in front of him, but... I'm sorry, I had
Rob
to go
Rob Naylor,
there.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I know, I'm sorry, folks. Read the book.
I'm surprised you haven't made a Bunny Blackstone joke yet.
Oh, God, no. I came really, really, really close when you mentioned Samantha, because I had to think of someone worse than her, but...
Bunny Blackstone was much better looking than Samantha.
Dude, Bunny Blackstone looks like she smelled, and I'm not going to go into it again, but I'm not a fan of her. She scares me. If I saw her at the local Kroger, I'd run.
We do not have Kroger's around here, but thank you.
We don't have them here either. I just brought up a supermarket chain that I thought the listeners would be used to.
Oh, yeah, Kroger's like actually the biggest one in the country, isn't it?
I hope so. I should have said Giant, I guess, but yeah, I'll just say Kroger.
Yeah, I mean, like, here in, like, the New York area, we've got, you know, we got Stop and Shop, we've got Wallbounds and A&T, and maybe ShopRite.
Okay, oh, ShopRite, I probably
could have Cullen. Said. King Cullen.
Hmm. Yeah, we got Wise Markets. Anyone? Anyone? We got Giant. We got Boyers. Yeah, we got shit where I live.
I never got why none of these other than Kroger were national and why Kroger isn't around here, though.
Yeah, you think Kroger would nut up and actually bust into the New York and Pennsylvania market, but I don't know.
We have Walmarts around here, but we don't have
Kroger. Oh, yeah. I think everyone's...
We only have a couple, though.
Yeah, I think everyone is afflicted with a Walmart, so...
But there's not one in New York. In the actual city of New York, there is no Walmart.
Nice. Good for you, New York.
Anyway.
But there's Russians in New York. Okay, who's next?
Chris Markov.
Oh, man, shit.
Chris, he sucked.
I never saw him that I can recall, but I remember that name very vividly. Chris Markov.
Now that I think of it, a lot of the stuff I've seen him in, he was really old, so...
Is he a he's a SoCal guy, right?
He's from Minnesota, but he's like you've seen him. He's like he's on some of that Winnipeg stuff where he's teaming with like an ancient Adnan on KC and
I really don't commit him to memory. The name Markov, is he a real Russian? I'm gonna say no.
No. I said Minnesota.
Oh. Oh, he did.
I think he did team with. I think it was him the team with Volkov, though, in Toronto. I forget if it was just Toronto or all the Crockett places, but I have the tape where he's, like, managed by him and where they're managed by Lord Alfred Hayes. And they're wearing those awesome, like, red, like, weird Russian, like, hats with the things that are by the ears that look like leather football helmets. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. I wish I could recall what the name of that is, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Chris Markov teamed with Angelo Poffo as the Devils duo managed by Bobby Heenan.
Angelo Poffo.
I guess that's where he got the name for Doug Vines and Jeff Sword.
I didn't know they were called that.
Yeah, they were
the Devils what?
Devils duo.
Oh, okay.
And then they were the Barroom Brawlers in the USWA.
Oh my god, they were. Yeah. Jeff Sword.
Not a lot to say about Chris Markov, though.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about Jeff Sword is at least he wasn't Tower of Doom.
What does that mean?
I mean, I really think he's pretty horrible. And
well, he did wrestle in Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, you never know. But yeah, we'll just say that Jeff Sword, you're a good guy.
Crusher Yurkov.
Yeah, Bammer. By the way,
allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, yeah, totally.
Crusher Yurkov. Bam Bam Bigelow, do you want to tell the story of how he became Crusher Yurkov?
Yeah, I'd love to. Apparently, Fritz Von Erich was like, you gotta come up.
It was George Scott.
Oh, even better. Yeah. George Scott came up with a name that rhymed with jerk off. And Bam Bam fucking hated it, but whatever.
No, but also, you have to remember, Bam Bam's like the hottest rookie in the business, getting all this mainstream coverage.
Yeah, he's the China Club, and he's in Memphis kicking ass, and he comes to USWA, and they put him with that idiot Larry Sharp, and he's like, the Crusher! And it was awesome, because he'd rip beer cans open with his teeth.
Yeah, just watch some of that.
Oh, those are awesome promos. As much as I make fun of Larry Sharp, those are great promos. Because, like, he'd just be talking, and he's going to destroy you and come into your house and kick your mom in the teeth. And then, like, he rips something with his teeth. And it was really good carny marketing. And Crusher Yurkov was cool, man. I liked him a lot. I loved the matches he had with Zulu Zadafi. I might be alone in that, but I did. And he was a fat big man and took backdrops. So we love the Crusher Yurkov. Yeah, he's not a Yurkov.
There's, like, another, like, Larry Sharp promo when him and Bigelow went to Japan in 87 to be like Inoki's new big American monster opponent. By the way, which I believe Larry Sharp, as being his manager, got like $3,200 a week for.
Oh, yeah, man. Definitely. I recently watched the happiest shoot interview of all time with...
Can I just finish first and then...
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, though, he does this promo where he's holding like all... He bought up all these like front row tickets for, like, people to give to certain people to see Inoki destroyed or whatever, and it's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, you were saying shoot interview.
Yeah, the Godfather.
Okay.
He talked about how in his contract with Larry Sharp, They were both
drunk. He was trained by Larry Sharp?
Yep, he's a Monster Factory guy. So they were both drunk when they signed it, and he was guaranteed 0% because he forgot to put a 1 and a 0. So it was 0%, so they took it to court, and Larry Sharp was not getting anything. But yeah, apparently in Bigelow's lawsuit with Larry, it said that Larry breached his fiduciary duty, and he basically was stealing money from the mouths of Bigelow and his family, so he got knocked around there too. But Larry Sharp, man, you gotta have carnies in this business. Stop being rotten. So,
as good as Bigelow was though later on, I really think he was at his best when he was a rookie in Memphis.
Yeah, he was very light on his feet. He was all, and that was before his knee problems. Yeah, man, you're probably right. He was fantastic.
He was also this, like, you know, did these crazy out of control promos where, like, you really understand that this is a guy who would beat up a transvestite prostitute.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Once he found out that he was not a woman.
Yeah, man, and the
which
war
is true,
machine.
That, which actually happened, by the way.
Did it really? All right, I did not know that. And the War Machine. The War Machine. Anyone in Memphis that had a video done to the War Machine was awesome. Macho Man, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Lord Humongous.
Oh shit, Lord Humongous.
Sid.
Maybe not.
Sid.
Sid. I love Sid.
There's a great story about that, though. Scott Bowden once wrote that when Sid came back in to USWA in, like, 94, Scott Bowden thought it would be a good idea to give him, like, to do a music video to Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails, which, by the way, was a 5-year-old song at this point. So, but Randy Hales tells him, no one's going to know that song. Every monster, it's always War Machine. It has to be War Machine.
Oh, God. That would have been cool to see Head Like a Hole. How dare they? Oh, well. Sid Vicious, you're awesome.
That was Chris Daniels' entrance music for a while, wasn't it?
Hope not. No, it was a different Marilyn Manson.
No, before the Manson song. I think it was Head Like a Hole.
Okay, cool, man. I did not recognize that. Probably when he was in APW, you're probably right.
Yeah, and then before he did the Disposable Teens.
Yes. You know, when we liked Chris Daniels. Way back when.
He has some decent taste in music, though. Not the Marilyn Manson as much, but he uses, like, a sample of Depeche Mode before the Disposable Teens, which I always thought was cool. But anyway,
big fan of, and he was bald too. Chris Daniels is bald, but not Russian.
Big fan of Russian.
Yeah, I think he could have been. Yeah, he definitely could pull that off. It would be better than what he's doing now. Eating biscuits. Yeah, what's up?
Remember when I like Chris Daniels?
Yeah, it's amazing. Good old Chris Daniels.
Bigelow. Anything else about Bigelow?
I wish Bigelow would have done a double jump moonsault. That'd have been badass. But yeah,
the nuclear splash.
As I would call it, the nuclear splash. Oh, I loved it. He would come off the top with the splash. He's probably the first guy. Well, Kamala would, but Bigelow got ups when he would do it. Definitely a different animal. I loved it. Bigelow's the fucking man. Awesome. I really wish he didn't die. It sucks.
Next, we got the great Malenko, Boris Malenko.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, he was numerous things in wrestling.
He was a Russian. He was a Jew playing a Nazi when he started it.
Yes, he was.
But, you know, best known as a Russian and, you know, who would get his false teeth pulled out and then stomped on. And Eddie Garvin did, and then Ron Garvin did it. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of Boris Malenko footage, but actually on 24/7 on the Brown Table before the current one, they did about, I think, Foreigners. I think it was Foreigners. It was something like that. It was about patriotism. And they actually had, like, a late 60s Boris Malenko promo, and it was pretty cool.
I saw that on YouTube. Yep, I do remember that because I YouTubed that one. So, yeah, that was a horrible show. But, yeah.
Were Dean and Joe ever supposed to be Russians?
I don't believe so. I always thought they were supposed to be Greek.
That was a bad round table, though. That was like the worst one they ever did, aside from.
Oh, I was so disappointed, dude. I was like, what the fuck?
Slaughter is really not good at these things.
No, he's not. And it's just gotten way too tame. I think ever since Michael Hayes dropped the M-bomb, I think he's gotten less fun. I think they're like, okay, we got to shut this guy up, plug him.
Joe and Dean were supposed to be, what, Hungarian when they were in the NWA tournament? What were they supposed to be?
Oh my God! Well, I swear to God, I remember Greece, but I could be completely wrong.
I think it was Hungary.
Huh?
I think it was like they said they were from Hungary, but they were representing Europe.
Europe. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Anyway, I mean, yeah, as far, you know, he's purported to be one of the greatest talkers in the history of the wrestling business.
Hmm. And you know who the Malenkos wrestle in that match, by the way?
That would
Nikita Koloff.
Should we talk about him now then? Why not?
No, no, I'm just – it cracks me up that we're talking about their dad who's a fake Russian and they wrestled Nikita as being from Hungary. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So yeah, Boris Malenko.
Oh, there's this awesome picture of – maybe they were supposed to be Russians then. I don't know, but there's this – you have to find it. It might be on this site actually. It's Boris managing Joe and Dean, and they're, you know, standing there in their jackets. And Boris is, like, in this, like, tuxedo or something, looking like a carnival barker with his lazy eye or whatever it is. And it's the greatest picture.
Yeah, man, he was creepy. Boris Malenko was a creepy dude.
And, Igor Kalmykov, I don't know.
Yeah, nothing here.
Oh, actually, wait, he might be the guy who was, like, the first real Russian gimmick guy. Wait, maybe not. I'm thinking of someone else. Because I don't have the Heels book with me. I took it out from the library. But forget who they had as like the pioneering Russian guy. But I don't think it's him. Maybe Alvin? It was some sort of Kalmykov, maybe. But let's see if there are any interesting factoids about... Oh, I stopped asking you about if anyone was really a Russian. But I guess the last few we discussed, you knew weren't.
No, I didn't know who they were either.
Do you think that he was a real Russian?
I would say, yeah. Just
no,
based
Eric
on...
Pomeroy. From Nebraska.
Fuck. God damn it.
You really should be guessing no more. I mean, think about it. Were any of the Russians real besides the ones in New Japan?
I know, but I wanted to believe, man. Shit. I wanted to believe.
How about if someone's actually from Eastern Europe, like Volkov, maybe we should just count them as Russian.
I think so, too. I remember when I was a little kid, one of the first magazines I bought, it had the Red Menace on it, and it was like... It had Nikita and Ivan, Sheik and Volkov, and maybe that was it, but they're like, they're killing our boys! I'm like, what?
Igor Volkov was Yukon Pierre. Why are all these guys French-Canadian, too?
I know.
Okay, Ivan Koloff.
Oh, I love it.
I skipped over some guys, but we'll go back. Yeah, Ivan Koloff, which...
I'm
okay,
thinking...
So, I forget,
not.
Did we discuss this yet? No, he's not. He's from Canada. Oriol Jim Paris. But the story about that, though, that I was saving until we started recording. Have you read Bret Hart's book?
I actually have.
Are you now starting to remember it?
I don't remember what you're going to say.
Okay, so it's when Bret Hart was in Georgia in late 79, he ends up, like, he can't find a ride, and he ends up riding with the heels. And he notes how he thought it was interesting that the heels were always nicer guys than the baby faces. Because, you know, Ernie, you know, he talks about how awesome a guy Ernie Ladd was and anything. So he's riding in the back seat with Ivan Koloff, and he just, like, has this eureka moment. He's like, oh, you're Red McNulty. I saw you have one of your first matches in Calgary against Firpo Zabisco. And then he's trying to get him to cut it out, and then later he takes him aside, and he's like, don't ever do that again. The boys don't know that I'm not really Russian.
Oh, that's great. Oh, Ivan. That's classic. I remember Gary Hart told a story about Ivan, how when Ivan went with him down to, I guess, New Zealand.
Australia, yeah.
Yeah, there was all these Serbs and people from the Eastern Bloc down there, so they'd be yelling stuff at Ivan, and Ivan wouldn't say nothing back because, you know, he was a fake Russian. Fuck, man.
That actually reminds me of a couple good stories. As far as the Russian stuff, though... He was wrestling Nikolai Volkov in some match, and Nikolai thinks that he's Russian and is calling spots to him in Russian.
Wow.
He can't understand. And eventually, he just asks Nikolai, I forget what leads up to it, he says, are you stupid? And Nikolai says, yes.
I never knew they wrestled. Probably late 90s or early 90s
actually,
or something.
No, I think it was like a while ago. It was decades ago, but...
Oh, really?
I
okay.
I forget exactly what it was, though, but... Anyone?
Oh yeah, I understand what you would. That I forgot that Ivan had that big run where he wasn't WWF champion and he wasn't in the NWA too. Yeah, I love Ivan, man. His leg drop was killer. He had a very unique way of dropping a leg, or one leg, and then he was awesome. He was awesome. Yeah, him and Dennis Condrey, in my opinion, are the two best like guys at pacing a match or just always silky smooth, very calm and cool. They just know what they're doing. They're like air traffic controllers in between the ropes, and he's just as good. He can execute any match. Nikita Koloff had nothing but glowing things to say about Ivan, and Ivan just seemed like a good dude. And
what
he,
a,
I always,
what a great
I would get mad. Yeah, on the super worker, and I'd always get mad because Ivan Koloff didn't win as many matches as Nikita Koloff with the Russian Sickle, and fucking Ivan taught Nikita it, if you believe the way they told you. So I never understood that, but it's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, just he was just this like just workhorse, you know. You just, I mean, he could just go and go, you know. He's fast paced stuff, and then he talks about in his book, I think, how he started getting his stamina because when he started doing the Koloff gimmick, I think in Montreal, they told him to run around the ring like several times and jump up and down. And he blew up at first, but eventually he got, you know, really good stamina from it. And that was it. But
and look at all the guys he helped. I mean, the guys, they'd always stick him with guys like Crusher or Nikita or Warlord and Barbarian. Like, he just was always the catalyst to helping all them big jack dudes get better, you know, so.
Oh, you'll love this stuff. You know who he trained at, like, the late 60s, early 70s?
Who that?
Buddy Roberts.
Did he really? That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, he trained him. They went to Calgary together. Buddy was actually living in Stu Hart, in the Hart house.
Jesus. Did not realize the Freebird link to Canada. It's nuts.
Yeah, On the WWE World Class DVD, you have Buddy talking about how the first wrestling match he ever saw was Fritz working in Stampede.
Oh, shit. Okay. Huh.
So, yeah. Then, but what? So.
And Jimmy Garvin and Michael Hayes get in a fight.
Wait,
fuck
what?
You, Michael Hayes. Jimmy Garvin's like, he stole money. He was a prick.
Oh,
and
that,
then
that,
Hayes
about
like,
Fritz, yeah.
He's like, what are you talking about,
Fritz was okay.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that reminds me. Speaking of Jimmy Garvin getting into fights, though, have you read the Midnight Express book yet?
I'm dying to. I have not.
Oh,
I
you
really
get it.
I know. Everyone's been telling me that. I can't wait to see it.
Such a great story. So at Boston Garden, it's Midnight Express and Dr. Death against all three Freebirds at the time. He's Garvin and Gordy.
Mm-hmm.
So according to Cornette, like they had very few like incidents with other wrestlers over the years, but this was one of them. Hayes and Garvin had decided that to get really over again, be the old Freebirds, they had to like barely sell anything and eat everybody up and all that. And Gordy wasn't really involved because he was mostly working in Japan, but he like you have and Garvin was according to Cornette on supplements to get bigger. Well, but working like a tough guy, you know, after being this total coward heel for his whole career. And so, I forget exactly what happens, but, oh, now, they keep, what it was is they keep eating on, like, eating after the match.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, Garvin has his temper or whatever. And Doc gets really pissed off, runs in the ring. Oh, actually, no, I think it was first Garvin tried to pick a fight with Steve Williams. Doc picks up a wooden Boston Garden chair and starts smashing Garvin over the head with it legit.
Jesus Christ.
And like so and as it's like breaking and pieces are flying everywhere and Doc screaming, "Fuck with me," and then Garvin keeps screaming, "Fuck." And then each time he hits him, it's "Fuck with me, fuck! Fuck with me, fuck."
Poor Jimmy.
It's not my fault.
God damn, man. Jimmy, what are you thinking, man?
And anything else about Ivan Koloff?
I don't think so.
About him when we talk about Nikita and Khrushchev, but...
Yeah, we're good.
Interesting thing that Mark Wolf pointed out to me once about the Best of Seven series with Nikita and Magnum. If you look closely at ringside, Ivan is calling the whole match from ringside.
Oh, wow. That's interesting to hear. I never knew that.
Yeah, but, I mean, Ivan Koloff, just awesome.
Yeah, just, you can't deny.
You can't say enough about how good he was. Ivan
never liked him. He was pretty well liked, you know? Yeah. It's not like he was not a
dick. I don't know who Ivan Rasputin was.
Yeah, me neither.
According to his profile, married to Sybil.
Well.
He was the original Russian. That's what it was. He was the original Russian guy. Big. But, yeah, he was, like, the original Russian heel, though.
Rasputin.
before even the Cold War too. So
shit, he missed the mark.
Wait, was he a real Russian? Hyman Fishman.
Wow, nice name.
Ivan Zhukov.
I love how some of these names are just the other Russians' names transposed.
He worked in Gulf Coast in the 60s, also worked in Georgia.
Nikolai
Kalmykov. Russian with a hat. The Kalmykovs, which I don't know enough about. I know they were pretty big stars, but
yeah, I heard
Ivan, Carol, Nikita, and Igor. Nikita Kalmykov was Nikita Malkovich. Wait, who's Nikita Kalmykov? Wait, why does that sound familiar? Wait, Nikita Malkovich was... Anyway, he was, yeah, but anyway, they were pretty big stars. That's all I really know about them.
Yeah, I read an obit on one of them, I think.
They feuded with Bruiser and Crusher, it says. So.
Okay, yeah.
Cola Querini was a Russian gimmick?
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I had no idea. I just know him from, being a big, partner in the New York booking office, but learn something new every day. He doesn't actually have a profile, though. Next up, Korsia Korchenko.
Oh, wow. Korsia Korchenko. I remember him.
He actually be the worst Russian ever.
I don't know, man. I liked him.
I liked him, but he wasn't – he was kind of sucked.
Oh, he totally sucked. He had furry boots. I remember Watts would have – I'd watch Pro Wrestling This Week, and that's when I got to see him for the first time. And it was like that real hot angle they did where
– with the Russian – burying Watts under the Russian.
Yeah, they buried his ass, and then he got hit with a shovel and left. But, yeah, that one was really badass, and I was like, shit, you know.
I love the early Korchenko stuff with him and Gilbert in the fast food restaurant where Gilbert's talking about, I try to get him to eat some, fine cuisine, but all he wants are American hamburgers and hot dogs.
Oh my God, I've never seen that. That sounds awesome. Was that on the UWF set?
I don't think it wasn't. So. I have it. It's on the set that Bob Arnett made, though.
Oh, cool, man. That's awesome.
And also, he was in Memphis for a little bit before then. I think it's on YouTube. But
Watts knew how to book Russians. Yeah. We'll say that right now.
And he was aligned with Ivan and Nikita. Because they were working with Crockett at the time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He definitely knew. Yeah. They basically
were involved with the Russian flag angle, too.
Yeah, and Dusty came in, teamed up with the other Americans.
My favorite thing about Korchenko, though, did I tell you about the Colorado Championship Wrestling thing that he ran?
Not sure.
Okay, so Brian Last gives me this tape, and it's has a little bit of Colorado Championship Wrestling on it. And I put it on, and it's from '92, and it's unfortunately there's just a little bit, and it's clips. So there's stuff that looks really cool, like Eric Embry against Abdullah the Butcher, and it's just a couple minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Korchenko is I think he wrestled there too, and he was the promoter and announcer. And he's Korsia Korchenko, I think, as a Russian heel, but just talking in his normal American voice.
Hmm.
But also sort of acknowledging he's the promoter, just very weird, kind of like the whole Lanny Poffo's multiple identities in ICW type thing.
Yeah, man.
Lanny Poffo, the wrestler, was not exactly the same person as Lanny Poffo, the announcer.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I mean, he acknowledged, he do commentary, if he's voicing over his own match, he acknowledges it's him, but they're not exactly supposed to be the same person.
Jesus, Lanny. I love Lanny, though. What can I say? He's a good person.
Yeah. Great poems.
Exactly.
I mean, he can improvise that stuff, too, if you've ever seen him do it.
Yeah, I saw his shoot interview, and it's probably some of the more entertaining 2 hours I've spent watching a shoot interview ever.
The best one, though, I put on YouTube, the poem. Did you ever see the one he does about David Sammartino?
No.
It's him, David Sammartino, and maybe King Tonga against the Moondogs and someone. And he does this promo about how David Sammartino's trying really hard, so leave him alone. whatever. Something, something, something. So leave the kid alone.
I love something. His voice is great too. We love Lanny. Nut.
Also, isn't that infomercial too for the Toadie and Little thing?
Yeah, he took over the Gazelle.
Got to make a lot of money for not doing any matches in WCW.
Oh, I know. Good for him. Good for him.
I think Nails was under contract longer though for his one match.
Yeah, man.
He was under contract for 7 years based on one match, and then forgetting they signed him and it rolling over.
Yeah, they were awful. Nord the Barbarian was there for a while too.
Yeah. So where else were we with Russians now? We got Korchenko, Crusher Khrushchev. Barry Darso. He was Crusher Darso in Mid-South. Then he turned heel, aligned with Volkov, changed his name to Crusher Khrushchev as a Russian sympathizer, then went to Crockett and teamed with Ivan, and then Ivan Nikita.
Yeah, Khrushchev blows my mind, man. Like, I thought he was really a Russian. Then I had no idea he was Smash for, like, years.
Yeah.
And I remember I picked up Wrestling's Main Event magazine, and they were at odds with Vince, so they basically exposed that he was Crusher Khrushchev. And I was like, what? That's crazy. I should have known because he had that giant tattoo on his arm and all. Like, some
well, he
people
had the yellow band over it, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was definitely visible. I was like, oh, God. I'm an idiot.
he was really good as Khrushchev.
Yeah,
especially that the match where him and Ivan lose the tag titles to the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, man, they definitely Khrushchev was good.
Which he was on the WWE tag team set that came out like recently.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't see that one yet.
Which was like a whole episode of either Worldwide or Mid-Atlantic, but that's a great, great match. And you know, another interesting thing from Cornette's book that I didn't realize that when he disappeared from Crockett that he was injured. And what they did was, since, you know, it's territories, no one's under contract, they had everyone on the roster would commit $25 of their weekly paychecks. They'd have it deducted to give to Barry Darso, and then Crockett Promotions would match the total amount donated, and they'd pay him that every week.
Hmm.
Which I guess was a nice way gesture, especially considering how wrestling had done business before then.
Yeah, very much so.
They also did the same thing for Magnum later.
Good. Maggie.
Barry Darso is an interesting wrestler.
Yeah, you almost don't know if he's good or bad, depending on the day. Like, I didn't like his comments on the Road Warrior documentary. His comments in his shoot interview where he says that basically him and Axe were like 1,000 times better than the Road Warriors. I was like, no, you weren't. I disagree.
But what was I saying now about? I don't remember now.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
We didn't really know he was good or bad. Bret Hart thought he was great. Like, in the book, he talks about how all these great wrestlers came from Minnesota, mentioning Darso.
Bret Hart says so.
Yes, I mean, he was also Repo Man, of course.
Oh, I hated the Repo Man. I can't even begin to tell you. I hated the Repo Man more than Nikolai and Boris combined. Oh.
Remember when he had that new mask and new outfit for, like, a week before he left?
No.
He had like more of like a regular mask, and it was like with this weird, like white leopard print or whatever on it. I might be able to find a picture, but any like, and Gorilla Monsoon's talking on commentary about, oh, we hear there might be a bounty on that mask, and
God, he was so horrible. I hated the Repo Man. That fucking, his interviews were the worst interviews of all time.
and he was Blacktop Gully, and every interview though was kick your stinking teeth in.
Yeah.
No matter what his gimmick was.
It was. Very few people have let themselves go the way he did after he left the NWA.
You know what I forgot, though? Also, he is now Demolition Slayer when he does indie shows with Axe, because Axe got to keep his name from when he finally settled his lawsuit with WWF, but I guess they still own Demolition Smash, so now when they team up, they're Demolition, but he's Demolition Slayer.
Oh, that's so fucked. Can't he be Blast?
I was looking through these tapes and with the Eddie Mansfield IWF, and it has, as part of Nasty Ronnie's stable, Axe and Blast.
Mm-hmm. Nasty Ronnie. I remember he got bladed one time and almost fucking died.
Who the hell is Blast, though? I mean, couldn't Axe have found a better guy to be the new Demolition member?
Yeah, he looked like shit. I don't know who he was either. I was not a fan. I remember seeing a picture of them in, like, one of the books, the wrestling magazines even, and I was just like, the new Demolition sucks. Look at this guy, it blows.
Did you ever see, I forget, did you see WXO? Oh, no, we talked about this. You didn't.
Mm-mm,
he did commercials for Priceline.com, though, when he was in WXO. He, Darso.
Hmm.
Remember? Anyway, the Mad Russian. Who's the Mad Russian?
Oh, that
that's Eric Pomeroy again. Okay.
That sounds generic as shit. Come on. Mad Russian.
What else do we have here? Nikita Kalmykov. Okay, we talked about the Kalmykovs a little. Nikita Malkovich, who was a Kalmykov. Oleg Prudius. What's his name? Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh, wow. Is that who that is?
Yeah. I don't know what to say about him. I mean, he had...
I will defy the internet and say, ugh, I can't stand him.
Well, the internet doesn't like him.
Oh, I thought the internet liked him.
No, are you thinking of Alex Kozlov?
No, the big guy. Everyone's like, you don't know what a worker is. He's a good... I don't like him. I don't know. I just... not a fan of his slow plotting style.
I thought people only liked the match he had with Festus.
Oh, yeah, that could be the case, too. I do know that was a very popular match. But I like the guy that he's teaming with more than I like the Russian.
Well, who is he teaming with now? Regal or...
Spanky's guy.
What's his name?
Yeah, I don't even know his name.
What's his name? Why am I?
I was gonna say big black guy. I didn't want to sound racist.
Then I decided against it.
Oh, I said it. Yay! But no,
I don't really want to look this. You know what? I'll look it up because it's the ECW roster. So
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, who I like a lot. So hopefully.
I forget. Is he Charles Evans or is that a different guy?
I'm not sure. I just know he's Ezekiel Jackson.
Gonna call me a racist for not if they're not the same guy. But
see Tony Atlas. No. So yeah, I'm not a fan of what's his name, Vladimir Kozlov. But whatever.
I remember how it was how big a deal it was though when Jerry Jarrett brought him to Titan Towers.
Yeah, man, that's his claim to fame. Actually, that was a huge deal.
It's like Jerry Jarrett is at Titan Towers with a Russian.
Yeah, and I remember them saying, like, a jacked, ripped Russian, but I don't know about all that.
Well, that was before Wellness, I think.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Who else do we have here? I like his headbutt thing, though. Although it's kind of stupid that guys will, like, jump off the top rope into him headbutting him all the time. But...
yeah, really? Come on.
Who's Pete Kamaroff? There's no profile, and I'm not going to look up.
Yeah, no idea.
The Rugged Russian. Wait. Juan Hernandez?
That was a Herb Abrams Russian, I guess.
No, I mean, I know about the Rugged Russians who work in WWF that are on... remember that tape, The Biggest, The Strongest, the Smallest, The Strangest, and The Strongest, the Coliseum video put out?
I do recall such.
And it had these, like... it had all these old clips that I've never seen anywhere else. One of them's the Rugged Russians doing their dance. That's all I know about them.
Wow.
I wish WWE put out more of that stuff.
Yeah, they could certainly do such if Vince opens up his own cable network.
They have like a lot of old film stuff that they've never really used. Like they used it on that tape and on some of the early TNT shows. They had stuff like that. Like a bunch of like Sonny King, like you'd have Sonny King stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah, I asked Adam Circumstance and Ed O'Mac if they could find me Manny Fernandez and Barbarian yet again. So yeah. The search is still on. It's bullshit. Come on. It exists.
I asked someone, you know, the person who got me WWE stuff, but I think I had him put it on the list, but.
You know what I think it was? I think where we might be going wrong is I think when he jumped over the top onto Barbarian, it might have been post-match with a wimpy match, or it might have been like an, you know what I mean? Like, remember when Morocco and Snuka did?
I think it was.
Okay. But yeah, I was thinking if it wasn't a match and we can't find it, I'm thinking perhaps it was like a Morocco Snuka deal. Where Snuka jumped over the top rope like Manny did onto Morocco.
I'm thinking it was probably on Mid-Atlantic, though, because like all the worldwide shows from that year are around, but not the Mid-Atlantic one. So I'm going to guess they had a match on Mid-Atlantic.
Well, I hope so.
Because usually the stuff they showed at the beginning of the TBS shows was on one of the syndicated shows.
Good. I am trying to find that shit. Yeah. It's my goal.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'd rather find that than like Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer. I'm telling you, I want to see Manny.
That's not gonna happen anyway. But...
I know. I still more than the Star of Death, and I'm Mr. Spots over here. I want to see Manny and Barbarian.
By the way, I did see. Speaking of stuff like that, though, I did see the whole Crocker Cup Sheep Herders against Fantastics match.
Nice.
It wasn't that good. I was surprised.
The clipping helps sometimes, I'm telling you.
It did. I mean, and I actually know someone else. I was supposed to say Bob Barnett got, you know, a bunch of the the 1-inch tapes that were that Brian Lance got from Watts, along with the 2-inch tapes that I got, and it actually had like the last 10 minutes, like starting with when Fulton starts bleeding, which is when the match started getting better anyway. But so it doesn't have the annoying counter that is on footage that wrestlers get from WWE. But surprisingly, not as good as one would expect. But
yeah, but the quality's bomb ass, right? The quality's beautiful. That's the best thing of all. The stuff that you got from Watts that you showed on YouTube amazed me. The quality, I was like, wow, I didn't know it could be like that. That's
Wait,
amazing.
I forget, do you have a DVD of that? Because I remember, I think you gave me money to get it converted.
I may have. I don't know.
I think it's DVD anyway. Because that's like, because I have stuff like from '75 on that, and it looks like broadcast.
That's so cool, man. I love that. Like, I love when things can just look better. Like, I was telling Mr. Good Helmet that a lot of the Memphis and UWF stuff I just didn't like as much because it's not broadcast quality, because I'm getting weird like that. So, yeah.
Anyway, we're Rugged Russian. The Russian Wolfman?
Never heard of him, neither. I remember the Barkus, the Wolfman.
Oh, the Russian Wolfman. Ivan and Soldat Gorky, played by John and Al Smith. I shouldn't say played by. That makes it sound too. Jim Cornette would hate that.
He would really dislike it. Yeah, I like the name Soldat. It was a better Soldat later, but I'm glad someone had it first.
The Russian Assassins.
Oh, I love Jack Victory.
Yeah, yes. Jack Victory and Angel of Death.
Big fan of Angel of Death, who gave his jacket to the Godfather.
Really?
When he was the Soul Taker, remember he had that long ass jacket in Global?
Okay.
That was the Angel of Death's jacket.
Death is jacked up in this picture.
Yeah, man. He was always a jacked up guy. I always wondered, was he one of the original?
He said he didn't use steroids, though, so who knows? But
I don't know about all that. He's dead, right? Yeah. I always wondered if he was one of Power Team. I always see him linked to Warrior and Sting, and I always. Like Steve DeSalvo as well.
I don't think he was Power Team USA, but he trained with them.
Like Red Bastine, okay. That makes sense.
I forget if it was the idea or just the rumor that he was going to be the Black Scorpion because he would fit the clues without being Ultimate Warrior.
Oh my god, and he was the Black Scorpion on house shows. That's so stupid. He was horrible. I don't think he ever did anything good, but I was a huge mark for him because he was jacked and he was tall, and I liked all the tall dudes. So I was like,
He did some cool stuff. Like when I think in Global, he'd take out a trumpet and he'd play taps in memory of his opponent who he's about to destroy.
Oh my god, he did. That's such a random memory that I would have forgotten years ago, but he did indeed play a trumpet. That was so – oh my god, that's so weird.
And he got the titanium tendon implanted in his hand so he'd have a better claw than the Von Erichs.
Yeah, he was a good gimmick, man. I could tell you right now from what you're telling me. Yeah, him and Jack. Him and Jack.
I don't know if he ever did it on TV, actually did it, but he'd talk about, oh, I can crush a basketball with it. I can dent a shot put.
I would have pained to see that. Dude, he was Russian Assassin number one, right?
Wait, does it say he was number one? I think it does.
I think he has to be. I remember they brought one in and he was jacked. And it was just him and Koloff for a couple weeks. And then on a Clash of the Champions or on a TV show, a second one appeared and everyone was like, what's going on? There's two Russian assassins.
And Jack Victory was good, but it's weird looking at like old observers and stuff, how much Meltzer was in love with him.
Yeah, Meltzer was a big mark for Jack Victory. He took good bumps.
No, but he was like Rookie of the Year, and like he was being talked about how he's even better than the Shawn Michaels rookie, or if it was the Shawn Michaels is almost as good as Jack Victory.
That's nuts. I know I like Jack more than John Tatum. I'm probably alone in that, but I think John Tatum was overall more entertaining. But I thought Jack in the ring was
he was a 52nd degree black belt.
Yes, he was, and that kick is just crazy. I remember when he teamed with Rod Price, he'd throw his kick and smack his thigh, but I didn't know they did that, and it made all this noise, and then Rod Price would do it and not smack his thigh, and he'd be like, look how weak that was, and then he'd pick the guy up again and smack his thigh and hit him and show him how to really do it. And I was like, wow, he kicks so much harder than Rod Price does.
And of course, yeah, Tatum super kicking Tessa.
Yes. Oh, Tessa. Oh, I love her. That's why I like doing your show, because she gets brought up
more
often.
We always find a way to talk about Tessa, yes.
I want to find her ass on Facebook, see what that's up to.
She was something.
Yeah, man. I hope she's alive. My God.
And she was Lightning Kid's valet for one show.
Yeah, she was. Oh, that's when I talked to Sean Waltman. That's the first thing I'm asking him about.
What,
Tessa?
Did you bang Tessa?
Why, my God, I'm not going to be so crude about it, but I'm going to say so.
She was also, actually, she, and then she turned face, though, and with Dundee, and that's what led to the super kick. I wonder if Dundee...
Dude, I wonder if Chris Adams and Kerry Von Erich, or if Brickhouse Brown talks about her. No, there. I wonder if Brickhouse Brown talks about that in his shoot, too. Waxing that ass in front of Bronco Lubitsch. Get a wet ass. Oh, my God. I love Brickhouse
Brown. I still haven't watched that. I forgot. What was the story there?
Oh, my God. Chris Adams' wife, Tony Adams, Kerry Von Erich had sex with Tony Adams in a tanning bed in the sportatorium. Right. Brickhouse Brown's like, that's why Chris beat his wife. He's like, how you gonna get a wet ass in a sportatorium when your husband there and get a wax that ass in front of Bronco Lubitsch? And I was like, what? It's like getting that ass waxed in front of Bronco Lubitsch is my favorite soundbite of possibly all time. I think it's amazing. And Brickhouse saying it's even better. It's unbelievable.
That is perfect.
I'm telling you, Brickhouse Brown's shoot is the only thing ever that was possibly better than Jamie Dundee's. I can't imagine if they put them together what would happen. It's too much. I love you, Brickhouse. I wish you were Russian so we could talk more about you.
And that's a great quote too, but so is I got Jeff Jarrett his first piece of black pussy. Which was betrayal. Yes.
I got my first piece of crack at some Xanax bars from Brickhouse Brown was another one. Oh, I love
what Steve. Was it that he said? And I'm going to quote him, so make sure – I'm going to make clear this is a Jamie Dundee quote so no one thinks I am speaking a certain way. But who was it that got in trouble for actually quoting someone saying the N-word?
Oh, I don't know.
Whether it was a politician or something. But anyway, Jamie Dundee's like, Brickhouse Brown, I love him. Straight up N-word.
Oh, Jamie. Yeah, Jamie's nuts, and Brickhouse is nuts, too. Brickhouse Brown claims in his shoot that he never lost a match in his entire career, and I really would like to find that's false, but I believe Brickhouse.
I keep putting it up. Last year, I did, too, but the circus that Ron West runs that Jamie and Bill Dundee are part of, I don't know if it has different branches around the country or whatever, but I know that sometimes that's where the Cole Brothers Circus comes around here, and I keep thinking if I should go to see if Jamie Dundee is there as a clown.
Oh my God, you should. You should. Do what's it called? The Cole Brothers?
Yeah, not the Cole Twins.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, the circus, because I swear to God that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's the Cole Brothers Circus.
Oh my God. I know of it. This is crazy. My hospital used them as a fundraiser. This is crazy. I think it's like a regional thing. Oh, shit. Sorry.
What?
Did you hear that?
What?
I just put it on and I heard music in my earphones. I thought maybe the people in yourself heard it too.
No. I think it doesn't okay. work. Like, I think okay. only if you like play the music through Skype or the Skype recorder, then it does.
Oh, that's funny because I clicked out immediately because this crazy circus music start playing. But yeah, I don't know. The Cole Brothers, I love it.
I remember I saw a circus when I was little that here, you know, it was like, you know, on the football field at the school or whatever, and it had this, you know, fire breather guy. And he's doing his act. And my dad keeps saying to my sister, this guy's not as good as Ricky Steamboat. I mean, he's not as good. Because he's doing, like, this, you know, much smaller fire breathing thing. And then the ringmaster says, and now, displaying the move that he taught professional wrestler Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Oh, I love it.
Volcano. And then he does the whole big Steamboat, you know. Fire.
That's an awesome story because I remember Steamboat telling that story that someone, like one of the greatest, taught him. Yeah, he didn't teach him shit. Ricky perfected it as usual.
Jesus. Where were we with the Russians? Russian assassins, Russian wolfmen. Oh, wait, did I skip? I remember I skipped an Ivan maybe earlier. Ivan Zuka. No, wait, we did go through the Ivans, I guess. Russian brute in AWA.
Horrible. Horrible. I hate him. Horrible.
Are there any other Ox Baker trainees?
I don't think so. He's worse than J.R. Hawk. I think he's worse than Kozlov. The Russian brute was bad. He was terrible.
I remember who was it that he had the tape fist match with? Was it Slaughter?
Could have been the Patriot, the Trooper. All I know is that the Russian brute. Remember when Cabana did that gimmick, in WSX?
That classic.
I swear to God, I couldn't watch that and not think of the Russian brute in Minneapolis.
Why did he walk around so awkwardly?
Yes, his walk, his demeanor, everything he did. I swear to God, he watched Russian Brute tapes. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, Russian Brute.
Maybe we should just talk about Ox Baker. I mean, what are we going to say about the
He did a shoot interview I heard recently, and I heard it was semi-coherent. He wasn't out of his mind. I'd love to hear – apparently everyone was expecting him to be the usual, rah, what are you doing? But he actually broke character for one of the few times in life, and he actually – apparently it's a good interview. So they say they're all good though, so who knows.
I'm wondering what his cookbook is.
I don't know, man. Ox Baker. I get a kick out of Ox Baker. I wish he was Russian too. Cool beard or mustache even. And and he wrote for my favorite magazine with Jonathan Boyd.
With for a wrestling main event.
Yep, love it.
By the way, do you know the thing about how wrestling main event, and like at one point, in like the mid-80s, was like totally like weird drug induced, whatever.
No.
Okay. What's the guy's? Oh, Mike Edison.
Okay.
Did various like magazine writing and editing for porn mags and High Times and all this. And at one point, he wrote for wrestling main event in the mid-80s and became like editor and stuff. And there was all this, and he has this book he wrote, which is all this just weird stuff about, like, how, you know, he had first gotten into wrestling again, like, a couple years earlier, you know, doing drugs and stuff, watching Tuesday Night Titans, and realizing how awesome Vince was for doing this ridiculous wrestling talk variety show and stuff. And, like, when he's at wrestling main event, like, all this, like, weird stuff, like, him feuding with one of the other writers, but like, you know, just like, I forget exactly what it is, but he, like, apparently a lot of stuff written while they were high.
Classic. Good. I think that's what happened with PWI too. Shit. Allegedly. Dr. Yeah.
Dr. Sidney Basil, maybe.
Basil, yes. And Liz Hunter and her Easy Liz contest.
Yes, thank you. I actually listened to our Samoan show last week, and I had forgotten about Easy Liz.
Yes, the establish a sexual yardstick. Liz Hunter, you're out of your mind. Or do I mean David Shockett or whatever the other guy's name is?
David Shockett, who also, I believe, wrote for porn magazines as well. Like he did stuff for Penthouse, I think.
That's so awesome how our favorite wrestling – and the sad thing is Peter King is not –
Alvarez, but he wrote about wrestling for Penthouse.
There you go. Good for you, Bri. But it's funny how like all of our wrestling people – but Peter King was from SI was not the Peter King from Sports Illustrated.
I thought he was.
He's not. He was. It pisses me off. I could cry. I always wanted to believe he was. But I like – Craig Peters did exist.
Peters exists. Eddie Elner exists. After, of course. Who else?
When I found out about Mac Brock, I almost had to put an armband on. I was so depressed. That was bullshit. I love Mac Brock.
Who else was there? There was a Dave some. I don't know. Why am I?
Dave Rosenbaum.
Yes, Dave Rosenbaum. Oh, Andy. I think Andy something was fake, though.
Aw. Bob Smith, real.
Bob Smith was real. I think, what I read was that you knew someone was real if they were, you know, listed in, like, the editor's rundown or whatever at the beginning of the issue.
Yeah, I probably should have thought of looking there.
Soldat Ustinov.
Oh, Soldat Ustinov was awesome.
And not Tony Rumble, we must repeat.
Yes, very confusing. But he was the first Russian ever with hair. And it blew my mind. And then I never conceptualized that all Russians were bald. I just figured they were because Gorbachev was bald too. And I had never seen a Russian with hair. So when Soldat Ustinov came out, I was like, he's not a Russian. He's got hair. If you'd asked me back then who was real or who wasn't, I would have told you Soldat Ustinov was not a real Russian.
I don't think any of these guys were. I think now that we've gone down the list, I don't think anyone was. And by the way, they don't list the real Russians.
Oh, damn it. And Soldat Ustinov was also called Stanislaus Ustinov. Once again, the AWA couldn't get their shit together, so they would change names by the week, and he just became Soldat out of nowhere. Because I remember he was Stanislaus Ustinov in all the magazines for a month, and then they changed his name the next month. I was like, what? So, yeah. What's his name on there?
Who?
The guy that came to beat up Nikita, Vladimir Petrov.
Yes.
Okay, cool. But okay, back to Soldat.
Soldat, though, did he ever do anything else besides that AWA run?
I always thought he was Tony Rumble, so I don't know. I don't know, dude.
I guess the answer is no.
Yeah, I should have figured that he was one of the Russian assassins, though. That's what I was a kid, I should have put two and two together that he was the Jack Victory Russian assassin.
And so we got Vladimir, you know, we got Vladimir Koloff, and then Vladimir Petrov. Vladimir Koloff was just a guy that Ivan trained, who's, I guess maybe Bobby Fulton suggested making a Koloff because he had the look.
He looked like shit. Like he was like a real Russian.
He was like a
hairy Russian. I didn't like him.
Well, then
I was like,
maybe he was a real Russian then, because all the guys in Japan were hairy.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on there? And then like he looked like a discount Nikita. I never liked him. Now Vladimir Petrov, that's my homeboy.
Al Blake.
Did he go on to be the dog?
Which dog? No, Al Green. That's Al Green.
Oh shit! Oh my god! If that would have been Al Green, I would have. That my mind was tripping. Okay. Anyway, Al Blake, Vladimir Petrov was fucking great when he showed up and they did that sickle on sickle action and they both put their sickle arm up and everyone sickle hit the ring. Everyone hit the ring and they each put the sickle arm up and David Crockett legit had a fucking aneurysm putting it over and I was like, yeah.
And then Nikita, yeah. And then
oh my god, Petrov catches him, hits the ropes, and then like out of nowhere.
Hey, remember when Nikita gave a Russian sickle to David Crockett?
The Russian sickle is my favorite thing ever. The Russian.
Did we actually talk about Nikita? Really? We didn't.
We skipped. He might be last, but I'm gonna share this Russian sickle story right now.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, my sister was like six, and no, I was like five, and my sister was like seven. So I'm like, hey, Chrissy, come over here. And she's like, okay, Bobby. And she walked over. And I go, here, just stand straight for a second. She goes, okay. And I go, right. I was like, hold on, clothesline in the throat. And, like, she had to have throat surgery, like, 5 years later. But I swear it was from cheerleading and overextending her vocal cords. It was not because I was a horrible little bastard prick of a kid who did not see any do not try this at home things. But, yeah, like, I was obsessed with the Russian sickle just because David Crockett, whenever it was hit, he'd go, rah, Russian sickle, and he'd, like, freak out. So, like, anytime I would pretend to give someone the Russian sickle, I had to go, Russian sickle, and, like, freak out. I love it. The Russian sickle might be in my top 10 moves of all time. Freaking awesome.
There's with David Crockett, though, when Nikita wins the best of seven. My God, the Russian nightmare has come true.
Yes, there you go. And, like, man, when he came off with that chain... Oh, he's like, Tony, man! Like, he's just spazzing out. And I'm, like, jumping up and down crying in my living room. Like, no, not Magnum! That match was awesome. That's one of my favorite matches of all time. I put that over any fucking Ric Flair match ever.
Going back to Vladimir Petrov for a second, though, the best thing about Vladimir Petrov is, like, he went to jail for drug dealing. Okay.
Oh, no.
No, but that's not what makes it good. So then, like, I forget if it was in the Here and There or in the Reader's Pages or whatever for the Observer, but a thing about, like, Meltzer's promoting, like, people raising money for the Al Blake Defense Fund.
Wow, that's awesome. Holy shit. Al Blake, so drug trafficking, huh?
Yeah.
He was jacked, man. That dude,
he
was not well.
He never wrestled again, according to Online World of Wrestling after this.
You know who I thought he was? You're going to laugh your ass off when I say. I thought he was Bill Kazmaier.
Wait, later when Kazmaier showed up or before? Did you know Kaz knew him from PWI and Sam?
When Rick Steiner brought Bill Kazmaier into team with him when Scott got hurt, I looked at Bill Kazmaier and I was like, that's Vladimir Petrov, and I was completely off base.
Oh, and they named him after a real Russian spy from the 50s.
There you go. But yeah, Vladimir Petrov was one of the most jacked human beings I've ever seen in my life. He was like Arcidi-esque. I was like, shit. And then when he's gone, I was like, fuck. You know, he was awesome.
Says he was in the UWF for like 5 minutes, too.
Wow, was he really?
With Watt, yeah. Unless maybe that was after Crockett bought it, and I don't know, but...
You know who would have been made a great Russian?
Oh.
Jeep Swenson. He'd have been fucking awesome.
Well, yeah, once he shaved his head.
Yeah, man. All he'd have to do is shave his head and get that goatee going, and there you go.
The ultimate... Jesus, the final solution.
Oh, no.
Then the ultimate solution, but first he's the final solution.
Yes, how dare they. Good job, Kevin Sullivan, you fucking idiot.
Z-gangster.
Yeah, Z Gangs is almost more embarrassing than the Final Solution. My God. Fucking terrible name.
You can't call him Zeus, but we should use the Z, and he's black.
Yeah, Z Gangsta.
Z Gangsta.
So stupid. What a horrible thing that was. I hate it.
Nikita was awesome, though.
Oh, man, yeah. And here's in like an hour of Nikita. Nikita's so fucking awesome that when they found him up in Minnesota, because he was friends with the Roadies and he was friends with all those other guys. Yeah, they found him and like they took him into a room and only Kernoodle and Koloff knew he wasn't actually Russian. And like the Roadies, but they were sworn to secrecy. So Nikita, for the first 2 years of being Nikita, would not speak English, even in the locker room, not in public. The only time he said he'd speak English was in long car rides with Ivan and Don Kernoodle, when he would learn in the car. Like they, cause like he was their guy who would stand at ringside with them as their enforcer, so he'd watch all their matches, and then like they'd watch all his matches and tell him what he did wrong. I just think it's so cool that he went so far with it. And not until he turned good did he ever really speak English. He learned Russian. It's just ridiculous how he even came about. And like, he was never that good in the ring, but he had this explosiveness and this intensity that only people that are Steiners usually have. He's just nuts.
He would just kill people with that Russian sickle.
Yeah, and he was just...
Well, I mean, because he didn't know how to really work yet, so they just, to make it look good, Ivan just told him to just murder people.
Yes, and I know that apparently it was so awesome that Barry Darsow, when he was in Mid-South as Crusher Khrushchev, someone said to him, yeah, Barry, they got a real Russian up there working for Crockett now. It's crazy. And here these guys played football together. When Darsow finally found out, he goes, yeah, I can believe that. Because like Nikita always goes everything 110%. And he's just crazy. So yeah, he apparently Ivan went to all like the places where you like sign up for your apartment and like going to sign up for like electric and water, and like Ivan would be like, this is my nephew Nikita, and like I'm going to sign for him. He speaks no English. And apparently Nikita was working out at the same gym Nikita was working at Ivan's gym. And they never came to him for dues because they seen all the horrible things he did on TV and they were scared of him. And then, like, they'd be like, Nikita, and they'd speak slow, you need to pay dues. And he's like, and he'd, like, turn his head like a dog. Yeah, he'd turn his head like a dog and say, Jadoista. And then he'd just look at him like, what? And then, like, then whenever they'd say Ivan, he'd have to sell it because he knew Ivan. But I just think. I just think it's so awesome how the lengths that guy went. And he was scary. He had such a – his eyes were piercing. He was a scary-looking guy and just a monster. And I never thought any – you know what pisses me off? It shouldn't piss me off because this is going to make me sound like a prick now. But
I know
we
what
never
you're
going
to say.
What?
That he went downhill after his wife died.
Absolutely not. I was going to say – how dare you. I was going to say that I'm mad we never got the Ron Garvin Nikita Koloff program because after he destroyed Magnum, Magnum was going to go on to wrestle Jimmy Garvin, and they shot a really awesome angle. This is why I wish I was part of the Crockett DVDs. But anyway, they shot a real badass angle on Worldwide with Magnum spanking Precious and Jimmy Garvin like giving him a brainbuster. But like – Ron Garvin put his fist up, and like the first time Nikita ever even looked somewhat scared in his career was because Ron Garvin put his fist up after kicking Tully's ass all over that summer. And it was like, shit, finally, Garvin Nikita, who I was like, this guy's actually going to kick Nikita's ass. And then like the accident happened and they turned him good, which was the greatest angle I've ever seen, I think. So whatever, but I wish we could have got Ron Garvin Nikita. That'd have been great.
No, I really, because you say, oh, I'm going to – wait, why would you be a prick for that then? Is that what – for not –
because I'm basically saying like – oh, no, I'm actually saying I wish Magnum's accident didn't happen, which is actually a nice thing to say. What am I thinking? I'm an idiot anyway.
Yeah,
maybe I always think people are going to look for me to be a prick anyway, but yeah.
Man, that Magnum, I wish he did get crippled. What?
That's what I thought I was going to try to say, but that's not – I was trying to say I wish he did. But yeah, his wife did die. And then he got off the juice, which is very clear because he looked like nothing like the badass Nikita we all knew.
And he grew a crew cut.
And then when he came back and got back on the juice, I liked him more, which shows you how horrible wrestling fans are because I didn't know about juice in those days. I just thought he'd
say that though, that like Nikita's like this one guy who you always see talking about like, oh, he was so much better when he was on steroids.
Yeah, it's true, because it's true, and it's like, when he came back and he's like, you got to prove to me, like Luger, prove to me, and he pulled the thing off his head and he didn't have hair again, which made him Russian again. I was like, yeah, and then like he's screaming, he was all jacked up and had growth all in him. I was like, fuck yeah, and like, then he got off him when Watts came, and he sucked, and then he got hurt by Vader, and that was it, but it's like, ugh. But yeah, I love Nikita when he was jacked. He was awesome. He just was a monster.
Remember when he tore like the Lex Luger figure apart?
Yes, yes, he did.
I remember thinking that must have made him really strong because those were like, remember those? What those like yeah. Toys were like?
Oh yeah, it was brutal. He destroyed it. He was awesome. And him and Dusty, that match he had with Luger where JJ slipped the chair over the top of the cage and he was like dead weight and Luger still got him up for the freaking torture rack and he's unconscious. That was good.
Yeah. I forgot. You know, I forgot about that. That's what the finish at Starrcade was playing.
That was a cool finish, wasn't it? And like, I loved how, and Nikita again being like Luger, I think one time said that Nikita was, he dead weighted himself and he would not work with Luger. So Luger literally had to pick up dead weight Nikita, lay him on the ropes, go under, pick him up, dead weight in the rack, which took a lot because they went like 16, they took 16 minutes. You see Luger blowing out of his mouth like he's ready to die and the ref is slowly getting up. I'm like, oh my God, Luger might actually drop him and ruin everything. But Luger, to his credit, kept him up in the rack. But yeah, that was a cool finish. And the superpowers are fucking awesome. I like them way more than the mega powers. The War Games was great. Nikita was great against the Horsemen. He was great with Khrushchev against the Rock and Roll. He was great in even the Flair match, his first year, that stadium match at Flair. Not polished, but fun. I liked the stadium match, so that was good.
And that man had all the awesome videos of him training in like their Russian dungeon.
Yes, and it actually
tearing up the Flair poster and stuff.
And how awesome is it that actually was done before Rocky IV, where they did that with Drago, so fuck you, Rocky.
Wait, what year was Rocky IV?
I think Rocky IV came out in 86, and I believe the Russian thing was in 84, 85.
Rocky IV was 85.
That's tricky then.
November, though. So it came out after several months after the bash.
Wow, so unless Dusty got a pre-screening for one of them movies, I think that we could give Dusty credit for those vignettes.
Maybe he read the script because they were trying to cast wrestlers as Drago.
Cosmic Cowboy. I'll bet you he did. I want to know this now because that's an interesting little parallel. Because
why you gonna...
Yeah, I would say that as soon as Nikita appeared in 84, they did those vignettes of him training. Well, no, I guess I had to wait till the Flair angle. But regardless, one came before the other, and I'd like to find that.
You can, like just growl. You can just growl to do a Nikita impression.
Oh, yeah. Shatoista. That's his only word ever. Shatoista. I was like, what's that supposed to mean?
Wait, there's a character in Rocky IV named Nikolai Koloff?
Is it really?
Yes. Michael Pataki is Nikolai Koloff.
Guess what? I think we just figured this one out.
Kerry and Kevin Von Erich could try it out to play Drago, though.
Man, Kerry would have been a good ugly ass Drago. Von Erichs!
What?
Remember I told you when me and my sister would look at magazines, we'd see Von Erich, and we'd go, Von Erichs! We'd run by the pages.
Gary Hart in his book talks about how calling Fritz horse face was his way of ribbing on the square.
Horse face jackass. Oh, I love them. They're the ugliest baby face of all time.
And he also talks about, like, one time he decided to also say that, hey, if Fritz is horse face and the kids are all horse face, then what do you think Doris looks like? And Fritz got mad, and he's like, you know what? Doris has never drawn a dime in this business. And Gary said, you know what? Yeah, you're right. But
jeez, it's crazy when your top baby faces make Bob Sweetan look like Tommy Rich by comparison. God, they were ugly.
Cornette called Bob Sweetin the ugliest top baby face in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think him and David and Carrie are pretty much neck and neck. Shit. Man. Oh, and Mike, for Christ's sake. Mike looked like he should have been on a fucking telethon.
Wow. Jesus Christ. Wow.
Anyways.
I mean, they do look like they are somewhat. You said it.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying they're very unsightly and they could have been on a telethon. I'm not saying what kind
Gary
of
telethon. Gary was built, but Gary and Kevin were built, though, so I guess that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why what I just said seems tasteless. But yeah, I just didn't like Mike at all. He's terrible. How bad was it on that Legends of World Class where they showed those promos where he couldn't even talk, the poor guy, because that asshole Fritz was pushing him into the ring?
No, especially the stuff like right after he gets out of the hospital and they have this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a cool Cotton Bowl show. And I'm like, what's he doing? This is crazy.
And when he's waving from the car at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, yeah. It's so sad.
And they have all these commercials, come see the living miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a miracle.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I thought it'd be a dead miracle. And then, like, they made that horrible pizza commercial. Oh, it's brutal.
Oh, man, pizza income, yes.
I still can't believe they got a goddamn cartoon and we called it.
Well, they didn't get a cartoon. They had a comic book. They didn't have the cartoon.
Oh, shit. I wish they did.
We made up the cartoon.
Yeah, we did.
Lil Von Erichs.
Brutal.
I really wonder what Carrie or Kevin would have been like as Drago. Would they would Carrie have cut his hair or... I mean, apparently they couldn't remember their lines, though, which I know is shocking, but...
Oh, yeah, there's no way he'd have remembered the lines. Even a guy who doesn't speak English, like that guy that played Drago did a better job, I'm sure.
Well, he does. He's American.
Is he really?
Dolph Lundgren's American. What are you talking
about? I don't even know actors that aren't Russian. I can't even tell.
And he's in... By the way, he's a member of Mensa, and he speaks Japanese.
I'm so stupid. Anyway, yeah.
But also, what's this? Speaking of Kerry, though, in the Gary Hart book. Okay, so I know you're probably familiar with, and some other people will be, the story of the day that Kerry Von Erich's dog died when Kerry was gonna wrestle Flair in a 60-minute draw later that night in Fort Worth. Okay.
Yeah.
And Kerry's dog dies. Kerry gets wasted, and they find him in his car. Send him out to the ring, and Flair works a 60-minute draw with him, and Kerry does, you know, the sort of handstand and drop a knee on the guy's leg or arm thing, and he falls over. And anyway, so Gary Hart talks about finding him in the car. And so he goes over, he sees Kerry slumped over, you know, the dashboard. And the first thing Rick Hazard says when they find him, he says, oh, don't worry, Gary. That stuff's... they find him with... By the way, yeah, I've left it out, though. They find Kerry with a needle of some full of some substance sticking out of his ass.
Whoops.
Half passed out in his car. And the first thing Rick Hazard says, so, oh, don't worry, that stuff's synthetic. It's not addictive. And then Gary screams at him.
He needed
then why is he slumped over the dashboard of his car? And then he walks away.
Jesus, is Rick Hazard dead?
Are you thinking of Ralph Pulley?
I thought Rick Hazard was dead, too.
No, I think Rick Hazard's alive. Ralph Pulley unfortunately died of the AIDS.
Yeah, I knew that. Wow, I thought Rick Hazard was dead. I'm not mad that he's alive.
It's surprising. I mean, just world class. But...
Yeah.
You gotta get the Gary Hart book, though. Also, Gary Hart, the first manager of Nikita Koloff.
Was he?
Yeah, he managed Nikita and Ivan when Nikita came in 1984, but he talks about in the book how he would have liked to really develop Nikita, but that he was very distraught at the time because of David Von Erich dying, and also his son Jason had a bad accident where he fell out of a tree and hit his head, so he was not really, did not have all of his mind in the wrestling business at the time, but yeah, he was managing Ivan and Nikita.
Wow, that's cool. I got to find that now.
Oh, and going back to when he managed Ivan in Australia, though, I wanted to tell the story. He had been talking to Jim Barnett. I think at this point he's working as Jim Barnett's assistant booker. And Barnett tells him that Vince McMahon is telling him how awesome Ivan Koloff is, but he wants Gary to make sure to scout him himself, because even though the promoters were friends, sometimes they... you know, really pimp up a guy that wasn't any good because they wanted to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnett's last words before Gary Hart goes to fly from Australia to New York is, don't come back with bringing me a Crusher Verdoux.
Who was Crusher Verdoux?
He was the guy who never really did anything in the business beside headline against Bruno and draw sellouts because he did the can't-be-taken-off-his-feet gimmick.
Ah, okay. I know now.
I forget where I saw it, but there's this really creepy picture of him wearing a Speedo somewhere.
Oh, Crusher Radoo. That guy.
Yeah. Now you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so his point is, you know, don't come back with anyone who sucks. Don't come back with one of these crappy WWF monsters who Vince somehow got over against Bruno.
So no doubt.
Also, he gets there, you know, he tells Ivan this guy's worth, you know, well, he sees Ivan, tells Barnett this guy's worth as much as you want to pay him. I mean, that he's worth, you know, that he's great. And he actually, you know, Ivan's all, oh, I don't know if I want to come in because I just got married. And Barnett's like, oh, you know, tell him he can bring his wife. I'll pay for everything, blah, blah, blah. And that's part of why Gary Hart thinks that Jim Barnett was awesome. It's interesting in that book, he loved Jim Barnett.
Yeah, his shoots, he spoke so well. He said everywhere Barnett went, he was a Barnett guy. He was loyal to Jim Barnett. He slapped the shit out of anyone that said bad things about Jim Barnett. Looking at you, Jerry Jarrett and Paul Bosch. Oh, I love it. You got to get his shoot. If you don't have it, you got to get it.
Which
somehow.
Which one, the Wrestling Classics one or the –
No, the RF one is really good.
Becca.
Oh, it's great. It's like – it's the Wrestling Classics one's awesome, but the RF one goes so much more in depth, and he just comes across as so much cooler a guy. Like, talking about slapping the shit out of people and talking shit on Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel for daring to say that Bruiser Brody deserved to die. Like, it's awesome.
You know, as much as I like Nick Bockwinkel, I thought that was very strange when I first read about that.
Yeah, man. Like, Nick said that basically Brody had what it coming because he died by his own devices, basically.
And
he hated,
I think it was him that said if Brody hadn't gotten killed in Puerto Rico, it would have happened in Japan.
Yeah, he basically said it. Yeah, he just kept saying it would have happened because he just fucked with people so often, and it didn't even. I don't know. Maybe some really weird shit happened with them too, but
because that does not sound like Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah, he's like I watched like a 4-hour shoot of Nick, and he was like the nicest, most intelligent,
classiest guy,
mild mannered, classy guy. And then they bring up Brody and Hanson, and he just went off on a tangent. He's just like, you know, that man fucked with this guy, that guy. And he's like, you know what is sad? He's like, that he left a child and a mother without a father on his own actions. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, I know. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, basically saying he deserved to get stabbed to death. I was like, okay.
New Japan had real Russians, by the way.
Yeah, they did. What the fuck?
Salman
Shimakov was a few
other Zangief. Is there another one?
I saw a good match with Zangief and Manny. Zangief, how should that?
Zangief and Shimakov were the two big ones.
Yeah, everyone else was just like guys to lose.
They were also in the Pat O'Connor Memorial Tag Team Tournament.
Yeah, man, and they threw some badass souffles. I liked them.
Yeah, I think they're the only real Russians.
Sadly, yeah.
Well, I guess, and Vladimir Kozlov now too. But...
wow, that hurts me. That makes me really sad.
Oh, do you have anything to say about Alex Kozlov, by the way?
Seen him like only like 5 times. He's a great athlete. I think if he could put some stuff together, he'd be good. I think the Russian thing's kind of dead, though. It seems too 80s to me, and I don't know if doing cool moves and being a Russian works, but I like him. I think he's a great athlete. I think he could put some moves together real well, but I just haven't seen enough of him. So,
is he still in Degeneration Mix?
I think he is still down there, so it's good for him for getting training in LA Dojo and doing that, and hopefully he puts all it together and comes up with a new gimmick and is good, but I heard Sean Waltman's gone, so maybe Degeneration Mex doesn't even exist anymore.
Also in Mexico, who else was there? Was KGB. Who was it that was KGB?
Tom Howard!
Oh, that
holy
was Tom
shit!
Howard. Yeah.
How do we forget him? Good call. Yeah, he was a pretty good Russian. I would believe him as a Russian.
It was KGB, and you know, it was the what was it? He did the Green Beret sort of guile from Street Fighter gimmick in 01, where he was like, it was sort of interesting at first, but then it kind of wasn't that good after he saw him do it a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with Carino in 01.
Yeah, 01 didn't have a long shelf life for most of their guys.
No, but I remember it was like with Carino, I always thought it was funny that in Japan he did like American chicken shit heel stuff, and in the US he was doing Japanese style stuff.
Oh my god, that's right. I never really thought of that. That's weird. Steve Cadito.
Who?
Steve Cadito. I love Homicide. Homicide's the best promo ever in the wrestling business.
Samoan Joe, etc.
Samoan Joe, I'm pissed, yo. I'm going to kick your ass, Steve Cadito.
That's actually a really good Homicide impression.
Oh, yeah, man. That's why he got cancer. I'm a great Homicide.
What's that about?
I can't share that story online. It's a good one. You're going to hear it.
Okay, then we'll, after we're done recording.
Oh, yeah, you're going to hear this one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Who else? Who is Perro Russo, too, I think. In Mexico.
Oh, yeah, that was another Lucha guy that was a Russian, I believe.
I don't really know much about him other than I think he was on, like, one of the Epic shows in L.A., wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so,
Hero, I think.
Yeah, I think
Vampiro or New Jack?
Sounds like Vampiro.
I just remember Bob Barnett talking about how Perro Russo had disturbingly white nipples.
Wow. There you go. Bob Barnett on the scene.
Are we forgetting any other interesting Russians?
Man, we ran the gamut. I can't believe you got KGB blows my mind. I can't believe that. It's funny.
Anyone else? I mean, let's just think. I mean, should we talk about some Middle Easterns due to the Iron Sheik connection? Or, I mean, we're already going very long. But...
yeah, we'll save the Middle Easterns, but shit, let's try to think of more Russians. I'll give it a minute. Fuck, I know more Russians. I just always thought it was funny that Russians had, like, Texas accents and, like, you'd always hear funny Russian stories because every federation had Russians. I mean,
yeah.
Alexis Smirnoff, I think, worked in Continental. Korchenko's in Mid-South. Nikolai's in WWF. Zhukov's in AWA. Nikita and Ivor in WCW.
Oh, Alexander Karelin, I guess we can count since he did a match in Rings.
Sure. Throw him in there.
Volkan.
Yes. Oh!
Volkan.
Dude, we forgot someone that's even the most famous of all.
And all the guys he trained in Rings that were all awesome.
How about Glow?
Colonel Nino Chetka?
Nanunchka, yes. Nanunchka from Glow was a Russian. She was awesome. Nanunchka. David McLean, you were not forgotten.
I wonder how many people listening know who Volkan was other than a guy that CM Punk name dropped at the Slammies.
Yeah, I know. I don't know him too much, I'll be honest.
Have you ever seen him wrestle?
I heard he's like this mat wrestling king. I only saw him like once or twice, and it wasn't a match where he really displayed much, so I wouldn't know.
He trained like the Russian military in Sambo, and he would do all these like ridiculous submissions.
I'll have to check him out on YouTube.
And apparently he could do a lot of them legit too, which makes it cooler. But
oh yeah, definitely.
And he trained a bunch of guys in Rings too, like Andre Kopalev, who are also really good. And should we talk about any Russian MMA guys?
I don't know much about MMA, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know.
Russian wrestlers. If I'm looking at this, I'm just seeing about Russian amateur wrestlers. Oh, have you ever seen? Didn't Mike Kruel become a Russian or something in OVW?
That sounds plausible. I thought Santino was a Russian too.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, he was Boris Alexeyev.
Was he? Okay, see?
Yes. Yeah, he was Heyman's, new Taz.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Because I thought he was. Before he laughed at the boogeyman and got smacked.
Yeah. Well, no, this was after.
Oh, okay. I heard Cornette's new kayfabe commentary sucks, by the way.
Oh.
He actually makes a comment about Ric Flair shooting on a promo.
Oh, I saw the trailer, and I'm like, okay, wait, Jim Cornette's talking about this, and he makes his comment, Flair, saying, you just tell me where to show up, he's saying this to Vince, I think, and when my shoulders get pinned to the mat. I'm just thinking,
yeah, I'll always love Cornette, but that's the first thing I think he's ever said in his entire life where I was like, I'm against you now. What's going on with you?
I can't believe
he said that. I think maybe he's just given up. Maybe he just says, fuck it, you know, the magic is gone, and this is what you'd say now, but that's not even really a defense. I'm just stunned that he said that.
The only plausible explanation I saw is that maybe in context, it's Flair making a crack to say that WWF is fake and WCW is real.
Yeah, but still, I just, it doesn't even work to me then. It's like,
that does not sound like, it's like Jim Cornette got possessed by Russo for a second. It's like,
yeah. Someone told me the other day, if like Russo said that, he'd be on a cross right now. And this guy can't believe how no one's saying more about Cornette saying that. I was like, oh, whatever.
That does not sound like something he'd ever book. I mean, he's done stuff with shoot type comments, but nothing that's LOL wear or work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of his stuff is awesome on that tape, but just hearing him say that on the preview made me, I'm like, ew, what? Really?
Are you getting the new Midnight Express DVD he put out, by the way?
Oh, with all the house show matches, I did see that. I'm not getting it right now, but I'm excited for it.
I ordered it, it's on the way. Because it has the whole 2 out of 3 falls match with the Rock and Rolls from Philly where they lose the titles.
Oh, good, man. That's awesome.
And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, probably really good quality. Awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting that stuff, like there's a bunch of 86 stuff from Philly that's never been around. He had a friend tape for him.
I love the loopholes. I love that he's going to get to do that.
By the way, if anyone finds it, I read someone comment on a blog saying that WWE once lost a lawsuit, like in 1997, saying that it wasn't copyright infringement for people to sell camcorder tapes of house shows. I have no idea if this is true, and he cited like this video game copyright case that was about reverse engineering, so I really don't know if there's
something that I think has some if it's not on the back of your ticket or if it's not announced, I'll bet you there's a loophole there too.
Maybe. Like, maybe it's something like that.
Yeah, because there was a time where they did different announcements. Like, I know I've been to shows where they didn't announce shit. And some of the newer tickets might be different where it doesn't say about unauthorized taping, so you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking, who would they have been suing? And I'm trying to figure out what it was. Like, and I'm almost thinking maybe it had to do with the guy who shot the click curtain call and them showing the tape on Raw or something. I don't know. I know they sued RF at some point, but I don't know really what happened with it back then.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't think they were still suing people. I figured they'd send cease and desists and then
let
it go.
They kind of do the RAA type thing now.
Yeah, like they I know.
Money.
Yeah, exactly.
They won't sue you. I know. Got one guy who that happened to, and he just stopped trading tapes.
Smart. That sucks though.
Well, I mean, you might know this. Why is RF able to sell like Smoky Mountain and ECW TV stuff? I know he's able to sell the fan cams.
Yeah, that's what I figured too.
But he sells all this stuff that WWE owns.
Oh wow, I didn't really know that. Okay, I don't know, man.
Did Dragon Gate have any Russians? Why do I think they did, or did they just have Italians?
I think just Italians, dude.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't remember any Russians.
That would have been kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. I expected in upcoming weeks. You never know what they're going to pop up with.
Is ROH – no, ROH hasn't any Russians. Screw them.
No, unfortunately not.
I think we're just about done.
But Adam Pearce will find a way. Yeah, I don't know. I think we are too. It's been awesome, though.
Well, this has been long, Jesus. Well, I mean, this is about as long as the Samoan show was, I think.
Yeah, man, definitely. Putting in work.
Hey, so, do you want me to plug anything for you, or are you not doing any of the other shows?
Nah, fuck it. It's all good, man. I'm happy to do as many of these as we do. Maybe we'll pick some other nationality or topic, and we'll just wax poetic about that next time.
Yeah, we can't wait like 9 months again.
No, we'll be better this time. I'm not doing like any
well,
other
now that, yeah, you're not. Now that you're not doing so many other shows.
Yeah, I have no problem doing them. They're awesome.
Okay, so I hope everyone enjoyed this. Everyone, again, if you're getting this from iTunes or whatever, check out cagesideseats.com. Should be setting something up either after this is posted or whatever to sort of reconfigure everything as far as the way things are set up if I'm going to be posting these all on Cageside Seats now. But I guess that's about it. I want to thank you, Rob, and I guess that's
hey,
about
you're-
it.
Later, man.